It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Pull List, hosted by your friendly neighborhood geeks. My name is Lex, and I'm here with my co-host, Simon. What's up, Simon?
What up, dog?
And this is a podcast where we talk about nerd culture and we review comic books. So if you're into that, you're in the right place. And if you've been here before, you already know what the deal is. So welcome back.
If you came for murder, mayhem, and true crime, you are in the wrong place.
I mean, we might talk about murder. You never know.
Maybe.
What's been going on with you, man? But before we jump right into it.
Nothing. I'm going back to work for the first time tomorrow. It's going to be really weird because I have to wake up on time. But I've been waking up at like 7:50 and coming and walking in here and doing, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing. But anyway, yeah, so that's got that going on. And tomorrow, well, yesterday was 112 day for Mezco, which is kind of neat. That's their brand for 112 collectible stuff. So that's kind of cool.
What is 112 collectibles?
Well, their brand is called 112 collectibles, and it's just like 1/12th scale.
Oh, okay.
So 6-inch collectibles. And because tomorrow's January 12th.
Yesterday, by the time you listen to this.
Yeah, yesterday. It's January 12th. Apparently, I know very little about it, but the communities I'm in, everybody's like, dude, what do you think the drop's going to be? And Mezco even posted, like, mark your calendars, tomorrow's 112 day.
So is it going to be a new drop, maybe? And
possibly.
Or I guess you don't know. You said that multiple times.
I have no idea.
I know you don't know, but what do you think it's going to be?
Yeah, but I know you said I saw that in the news a lot during the Capitol riots or whatever, that not to get political, but they were, like, on the phone with Congress, and they were like, I know you can't tell us where you are, but where are you? And it's like, we cannot tell you. Every interview I saw.
So I know you guys are going through those secret tunnels. Can you tell us how to get to those tunnels?
Yeah, exactly. Direction by direction. Give us the how many, what is it? What is it in, like, maps? Like 7 steps to your left or whatever. I don't know. Paces.
I don't want to talk about politics either because we don't do that here. But man, crazy week. I don't have to tell you guys that listen to this. You guys watch the news. It was crazy, and it took up most of my news week. I read a lot of books. DC's Future State started, so I read a lot of those comic books, and we'll talk about where you can hear my opinion on that later on the show. I don't want to take up too much of that time right now. But what else is going on with you, man? You're about to get some stuff in.
Yeah, finally, after a while, I'm getting my pre-ordered Mondo Iron Giants 12 inches.
Yeah,
hey,
the perfect call size. Means.
Iron Giant. Anyway, and then I'm getting my MoffX Miles Morales from Into the Spider-Verse, so I'm pretty excited about those coming in.
Yeah, that Miles looks great, man. I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah, also ordered a Doc Brown from NECA, so that should be coming in. And I got, there's this company called Mego, and they make those figures. I swear they use them a lot on Robot Chicken. Like, they're really, like,
they're like the old school figures, like, yeah, way back in the day. Yeah,
yeah. And I really wanted a Wolfman, so I got a Wolfman Mega.
Oh, nice.
It's like $10, so I had to get it.
I'll be excited to see some of that stuff, man. This is the part of the podcast where we talk about some trending news. Not a lot. We just go through some things that I thought were interesting, and Simon tries not to pay attention to most of this stuff, so I pretty much just catch him up.
What?
Cyborg was supposed to be one of the main characters in the Flash movie, but he's getting written out of that, and it looks like he's just done being Cyborg altogether, which a lot of people are upset about, but I'm
not. I just feel bad for him, kind of. I don't know.
I mean,
I guess he probably started all that crap when he didn't think that he would have a future career as Cyborg. I don't know. Yeah. But I do feel bad for him. I don't know what his career is going to look like.
Same. Especially if he's, like, labeled as someone that is kind of hard to work with, or people are, you know, people got to worry about what they say around him. And I don't know the full picture. I tried to not think about the DC movies as much because I like to be pleasantly surprised. I didn't dive deep into Aquaman. I didn't read too much about it. When I saw it, I was, you know, whelmed.
Yeah, just whelmed.
And so he's getting written out of the Flash movie. The Flash movie's crazy. It's got a lot of Batman in it. Apparently, there was a rumor saying that Michael Keaton was going to take over as the Batman. We talked about that last time. But it seems like a waste if they don't do Batman Beyond. Seems like a big-ass waste. Mm-hmm. Why? Who wants old-ass Michael? I like Michael Keaton's Batman. He's my favorite Batman, but he's also, like, 67.
Yeah, compared to Batfleck, not that I... Honestly, I liked Ben Affleck's portrayal of Batman for the most part. Mm-hmm. It was, to me, it was like any of the prequels of Star Wars. Like, the actors were good. The script was bad.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just don't see how that could bounce. Like, how is he going to age 20 years? Like, you know what I mean?
yeah.
So.
And get like, because Ben Affleck was, he got big for that role. Yeah, he worked out. Dude. He was like a huge dude. And, you know, I don't see Michael Keaton getting freaking jacked.
No.
I just, it would be weird.
He's going to put on one of those mushy muscle suits.
That freaking Shazam suit that guy had in that movie. Right. So stupid. Yeah, so I don't know. What do you guys think about Cyborg being written out of the Flash? If you're a DCEU fan, let us know. I would love to hear the other perspective, because we're not MCU fans. I crap on those movies too. It's just that I didn't like Cyborg. And it has nothing to do with Ray Fisher. I thought he looked dumb.
Yeah.
Like his body was dumb. I didn't like that. I like Super Friends Cyborg, where he has like the afro and he has like
I like he's that. He's got a half-ro.
Yeah. I like that Cyborg.
I do like that one too.
Teen Titans Cyborg, the original, whatever, the older cartoon that came out on Cartoon Network. I love that guy. So this pixelated, weird, like.
Yeah, bad Transformers reject.
And I don't think Cyborg should be on the Justice League. I know they're trying to be like inclusive, but they have like other black characters that they could have put on the Justice League. Cyborg to me is a Teen Titan. He fits better with the Teen Titans. He always has. So
yeah.
Hopefully they do something there. They're not talking about recasting right now, but I'm sorry, I don't care enough. So, if you're a DCEU fan, let us know why we should care. But that's all we're going to talk about that. Next on the list, I thought this was pretty interesting. RDJ is rumored to play Admiral Thrawn in some sort of upcoming Star Wars movie, or I would imagine RDJ is going to do a movie. He's going to, you know, ask for a lot of money. I don't imagine him being.
Well, they say after Doolittle that he doesn't have as much asking power, but I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I think he still does. Doolittle was probably going to be bad, so he probably did that one.
Yeah.
He had to rub one out, and now he could get back up. Now he could get back and like do something. I don't think this is it, honestly. I don't know if I see him as Admiral Thrawn.
I don't see him blue.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, guys, so what we're going to do is we're going to attack. And the Rebels.
It's hard to see him playing Tony Stark for so many years and then watching him play something like this.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to cast an Admiral Thrawn, I would pick that guy that played Sinestro in the Green Lantern movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's also in Shazam.
Yeah, that guy. Whatever his name is. Again, sorry guys, we're bad at this.
What is that guy's name? He was in all the Kingsman movies, too.
Good actor. I think he would kill it as Admiral Thrawn. I don't think RDJ is it. He should probably pass on it. He should probably come back as Tony Stark in some capacity and just
do that until he dies.
Just cash a check, man. Like, they're going to pay. He made, what, $75 million from that one movie?
He made a lot.
I would do that for the rest of. You don't have to do anything else for the rest of your life. He's old, and he just made $75 million. Like, that's enough.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like, okay, before that, and I liked his movies before that, like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, but yes. Before that, it's not like he was.
Yeah,
rolling in the dough. He had a cocaine problem.
Yeah. He got arrested
prison
by like breaking into somebody's house in his underwear or something like that.
Yeah,
which is cool. If it was me,
Rockstar,
I would be like, hey man, I could just be Iron Man forever. I'd be okay with that. Like, he has to have a pretty cushioned gig there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who am I? I don't have artistic integrity. So something I saw today, which is funny because the book we're reading today is Spider-Man Life Story. Marvel dropped a teaser. Pretty much looks like Miles Morales is going to be dealing with his own clone saga coming up in April, which I don't know why. Miles' book is pretty good. It's not like excellent. It's just like, you know, Spider-Man books throughout the years are always just okay.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily bad. They're okay. And then he has these good arcs. So it's like, that makes it a good book to me, because it's something that you can always read casually, and then he has these big giant arcs that are, you know, put him over the top.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they would need to do this, but I guess every Spider-Man has to go through it, so it's kind of like his initiation into being Spider-Man. I don't know. What do you think about another clone saga?
I'm with you. I don't know why. Like, it makes no sense to me, but. Maybe I know that they like redid the clone saga, rewrote it.
They fixed it,
yeah, quote unquote, cleaned it up
a couple of years ago.
So maybe they'll take a lesson from that, but I don't know. I just have to see it.
Yeah, I'm someone that loved the Clone Saga in the 90s. I know a lot of people hate it, but I also go on record being someone that likes bad stuff. Like, that's something that I like to say a lot of times, because when I say I like Spider-Man 3 and I like these bad movies, and people say, oh, well, those movies are terrible. And I know, I like bad things.
Yeah, it's like, you have no taste. It's like, yes, I know.
I'm telling you. Yes, I'm telling you that. So I loved the Clone Saga. Did it make sense? Was it, you know, convoluted? Yeah, no, it was bad, but I liked it.
Yeah.
I love Ben Reilly, and that was a, you know, a product of that Clone Saga.
Yeah, so I like Ben Reilly a lot.
I don't know why they're going to do it. I don't have high hopes or low hopes. I just have hopes that it doesn't ruin the character.
Right.
So today, which is Monday at the time of recording this, Deadpool has been announced to be in the MCU, confirmed, and the rating will be R. So that's cool. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's cool. I'm curious if they'll ever, like, so he's in the MCU, but how are they going to integrate that?
Yeah. That's the first thing I thought of is, what cameos are we going to get? How is that going to happen?
I will.
That's just how he fits.
Yeah, I will say that, you know, they did make the PG-13 version. So I can see if he comes into other ones, like, it would be funny. I hate to be a person that's just going to, like, conceptualize how they're going to bring him into the Disney universe. But,
well, I was going to give you my opinion on how they should do it, so no one takes it seriously.
Yeah.
We could do whatever we want.
My favorite part is, like, okay, just for an example, I loved, I don't really watch it anymore, but Robot Chicken. And it was funny when you watch it on TV and they bleep everything out, and it's like, bleep, 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 bleep. Like, to me, that is funny. But then when I got it on DVD and they say the words, it, like,
takes away
from it. Wasn't funny to me. So, though I think the Deadpool's pretty funny.
Yeah, I like 1 and 2. Yeah. I know some people don't like 2 as much, but I mean, I like them both.
I think I like 2 a little better, honestly.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I can see that if like, in his movie, he's saying all these words, but when he's in Disney, like, they bleep him.
Yeah.
Or he has, like, the black bar over his mouth or something, like, he's going to be breaking the fourth wall, I would assume.
Or if they just cut, like, if they cut to another scene right before he says, like, something obscene.
Which is always funny.
Yeah, they just cut right before he says it.
Yeah.
The way that I personally would bring him into the MCU is, the third movie would be called Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe, which is a title they bring up every 4 years. He has a Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe book, and it wouldn't be the MCU. It would be the Legacy Universe. So you would pull in all the actors that played in the old movies.
Mm.
You know, you get Hugh Jackman to be in it at the end, and he didn't have to be in it. It could just be that scene in Logan, and then, like, he's maybe traveling through dimensions, killing off all those dead assets from that, you know, Marvel obtained. And, you know, he could just walk past that scene in Logan where he's on the stump or whatever. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen it.
But if you haven't seen that, or that beginning scene of Deadpool 2.
Yeah, right. So it would just be cool to see him, to see all those characters get one last, you know, send off. And it would just be funny to me.
That would be funny. I'd like to see that.
And then he ends up in the MCU post Thanos. And then it kind of, you know, sets the stage for the future.
Yeah, I feel like he has to be in his own universe, especially with the time travel, spoiler alert, that he did in Deadpool 2. So.
Yeah, and the reason why I thought that is because at the end, just the way, how loose they handled it at the end of Deadpool 2, how he was just going through all the times, and then he also killed Ryan Reynolds before he did Green Lantern. So it just, they got really loose with it. So I feel like if they just
get loose with it,
if they expand on that in Deadpool 3, then they could just go and have him kill, you know, Kelsey Grammer as Beast, or the guy that played Iceman in the first X-Men. I just want him to kill the X-Men universe. Everybody else is fine.
Kelsey Grammer's made such a, oh, I don't know why I pluralized his name. Kelsey Grammer's made such a good Beast.
He did make such a good Beast. But then, you know, you could also do it to where he kills off the old Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
And you can have Chris Evans come in and cameo as Human Torch, and he can make a reference to him looking like Captain America. You know what I mean? And you could just have all the, it could just be a total fan service movie serving as an introduction to future MCU
stuff. Yeah, that was actually what I thought. The Fantastic Four, I think that would be great.
Yeah, especially because those guys haven't been doing anything. And then bring the dude, Chiklis, that played Thing, bring him over into the MCU and you're good.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, I'm okay with that thing.
Yeah.
Not the naked thing. Not the naked one that was in Fantastic Four stick, whatever it was called.
I haven't seen it, man.
We're going to watch it. It's so bad. All right, moving along. If you guys got any opinions about Deadpool or our theories or ideas on what they should do, Kevin Feige, if you're listening, cut the check, because if I see that happen in the movie, I'm suing.
Type it out, yeah. Mail it to yourself.
Yeah.
That way it's post-dated, and now then you can sue.
And I'm gonna mail it to Kevin Feige and say, hey, I know you watch our show. Just like have like this really intimate letter to like about how we've been friends for years and like just create this whole chain of letters. Yeah. You're going down, Kevin Feige. I'm about to single white female you, man.
Single white female.
I know where you live. So a lot of people have been wondering, like, is Charlie Cox coming back? He's rumored to come back as Daredevil or just as Matt Murdock. The chick that plays Jessica Jones is rumored to be in the She-Hulk show. And so people are asking. Someone asked Kevin Feige in an interview if the Netflix Marvel characters were coming back in any capacity. And he said, never say never, which is a smart answer.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't want to say no, but he also doesn't want to say yes. You know, it's very, very smart answer.
He's also sponsored by Justin Bieber.
Yeah. He's like sprays Justin Bieber's cologne all over him. Oh my God. He has a flat bill hat on.
Yeah.
Jacket with no shirt under it. Kevin Feige would have way more of my respect. Not that I don't, he doesn't have any respect for, but way more. So that's cool. What do you think? Those Netflix shows were just okay to me, man.
I did like Daredevil a lot.
Daredevil is, me too. If I had to pick one person to come into the Marvel Universe or the MCU, it would be Charlie Cox's Daredevil. I thought he was great.
I like, honestly, so the first, I like the first season of all of them. I think the first season, except for Iron Fist, which was terrible.
It was bad.
And I didn't like the actor. I hated everything about that show.
Uh-huh.
But I really liked the guy that played Luke Cage. Jessica Jones was okay. And I like Kristen Ritter. I just wish that, and this is going to sound sexist as hell, I wish she smiled more in that show. Because she has this thing with her bottom lip and her bottom teeth that drives me nuts. Yeah. And she's, even when she's frowning, it's fine. I just don't like that face that she makes.
Her ugh face. Ugh.
Yeah, just her. Not every person.
Not every woman on the planet.
Yeah, I'm just saying her.
You guys should all smile more. If you want people to like
you. Yeah, you should smile more. Be happier. You would look way prettier.
We're about to get flagged.
Yeah, no. No, not at all. But just that bitchy face that she was making.
Yeah.
And Charlie Cox was great. Mm-hmm. And I liked that Daredevil costume, which a lot of people didn't.
I loved it.
So I would like to see him.
Let's be honest, man. Daredevil's regular costume would look dumb. And
they tried it. It did look dumb.
Yeah. So dumb. Like a whole latex suit. That just looks dumb, man.
Yeah.
I get it. It looks cool on paper and like when you draw, but that doesn't always translate well.
Yeah. When you're trying to get a sweet bulge. Yeah. It looks great. Right.
But can you imagine? Anytime I see his suit and I think about it in real world terms, he's like a ninja. And he's in the shadow, jumps out of the shadows, beats the shit out of people, and it disappears. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I just imagine like a criminal doing some criminal stuff, walking down an alley. And I'm painting this picture for you. And then he's like looking over his shoulder, and all he hears is like these squeaks because his suit is like taking all these latex stuff. And he's
just like a wingsuit almost.
It's like I knew you were behind me for the past 12 minutes.
That's so I do like that. And I think Mezco did a good job of portraying that. The yellow Daredevil suit is that he's got like he's got like sweats almost underneath, but it's like a on theirs it's like a leather romper.
The vest part? Yeah, because it's like it's like a onesie sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to me, that makes more sense, I guess.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah, his costume does
stupid,
not translate.
Man. It's like a gimp suit with a mouth open. That's what it is. Yeah. And I loved it. Daredevil is legitimately one of my favorite characters. So
yeah,
I just think that suit's terrible. And I think that Charlie Cox suit, when I first saw it, like after he gets it made or whatever, I loved every bit of it.
Yeah.
So same. People suck that don't like it. You guys just... Unrealistic standards for these movies. You guys are terrible.
Yeah, all you guys, us included.
Yeah, because we also have ridiculous standards for movies. Secret Invasion is a show coming out that's going to focus on Nick Fury and the guy, the Skrull guy, whatever. It's supposed to be like a buddy cop show, which kind of sucks because Secret Invasion is a epic story that has deep rooted in the history of, you know, Marvel, with people being like Skrulls from the 70s or something like that. Mm-hmm. They came out the gate saying, hey man, Secret Invasion is not going to be like the comic books.
Yeah.
So do not expect it. We're not doing that. We're not having, because, you know, you read Secret Invasion. They had those Skrulls that were like Cyclops head, Wolverine hands, Colossus body. And it's like, we're not doing any of that. Mm-hmm. This is just going to be Nick Fury and that guy.
Like Combo Man.
Combo Man, he needs to make a comeback. How do we get the rights to that character?
I don't know. It's a lot of rights he'd have to get.
Yeah, it's just like every layer. So millions and millions of dollars worth of... Dumb. So yeah, I'm not excited about Secret Invasion. I think the buddy cop show set in like random S.H.I.E.L.D. agents being Skrulls, unless they have like some badass, you know, cameos where they say, hey, Tony Stark that died killing Thanos is actually a Skrull.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tony Stark is actually still alive. And then, you know, he comes back. That'd be cool.
It's like the end of Batman when he's in Italy or whatever.
Yeah. It's like, what? Oh, Alfred and his dementia.
Yeah, I swear I saw him. Yeah, I don't know.
So what do you think about that?
I don't know. I'm sure it'll be fine. We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't really have any of it. It's the same. So I've heard that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is great for the most part.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is great in the same vein that the CW shows are great. Like, if you have nothing else to watch, but you are like us and you are a fan of superheroes, it's tolerable.
You can get invested.
Yeah.
Well, and that's kind of how I feel with this. Like, this might be interesting, especially since it'll have like a space aspect to it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
No. It'd be kind of neat if they did like a 60s Star Trek thing with it.
Yeah.
It could be kind of fun.
I don't understand.
Like, made it real corny.
My thing is, like, I don't understand why do it like this. Like, I guess I don't see what the play is. Like,
yeah.
Secret Invasion, but without any like bigger characters besides Sam Jackson. And I don't know. They could have all kinds of big characters in it, you know? Like, it would be weird for me not to see Brie Larson in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because she has such a relationship with both of those characters. But she's not, you know, she's cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
No. Not personally, but like, it's a dude.
I haven't had the pleasure.
If you guys are excited about Secret Invasion, let us know what you think. Let us know what you think the show is going to be about. Mm-hmm. Some dude on the internet is claiming that Danny DeVito could return as Penguin in the Flash movie. If you know anything about Batman Returns, you know that the Penguin dies at the end of that movie, right?
Well, yes.
I mean, he looks like he dies.
Yeah,
I don't see why him like surviving that wouldn't be like a gasp moment, like, oh, the Penguin's here. What's he going to do? Because now he's going to be even older and more penguiny and.
Right.
Gross.
More penguin-y. Yeah.
So gross. He was so gross. That was so perfect.
Yeah. Well,
the perfect penguin.
That's what's funny. That whole movie, I'm sure everybody knows this by now, but that whole movie tanked Tim Burton and all and Michael Keaton and all that because they couldn't sell any toys based on how gross he was.
Yeah.
Like all the toys, the Happy Meal toys, stuff like that, they used like the 60s penguin, like the real goofy one with the monocle and shit. So
I remember buying so many toys back then, though. They had I remember this very vividly. They had a 2-pack of just penguins.
Oh, I had that. Yeah.
It was, yeah, so did I. I mean, it's just like, why?
I love those penguins.
I loved it so much. I love that movie so much that I was like, hey, I need to get those penguins. And I could just imagine, like, being a parent now, my parents being like, what the fuck are you
penguins
doing?
With rocket bags?
Who gives a shit about that? This is a bootleg toy. It's a Batman background that you're buying me. Bat penguins.
My sister got me those for Christmas and like whenever that movie came out.
That's a gag gift.
Yeah.
She's like, he's gonna hate this. He actually loved it.
Yeah.
I remember that. All right, so what do you think? Man, penguin coming back?
Nah.
But why? That's my question about any announcement that comes out for Batman.
Poor
or
K.
Spider-Man. Why?
Yeah.
I don't have this in the note, but Kevin Feige spoke on the rumors about Spider-Man, and he said, again, very cryptic, yeah, some of them are truths, some of them aren't. It's like, cool, man. Why are you doing this interview again?
Yeah, Spider-Man will have Spider-Man in it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's like, why? Why are you doing these interviews, but you're giving us nothing?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. This is just a theory, this next bit of news. This is not official or anything like that. But I think that the Injustice 3 game could be announced this year.
Hmm.
I could just, this is my weird reasoning. 2 years ago, in 2019, NetherRealm Studios released Mortal Kombat 11. 2 years before that, in 2017, they released Injustice 2. 2 years before that, they released Mortal Kombat 10. And 2 years before that, in 2015, they released the first Injustice. So they've been doing this thing every 2 years where they release the other. So,
and if you look at the back of a dollar bill, you can see the Illuminati sign.
So,
and it's looking at NetherRealm Studios.
Oh, God. I think it's possible.
Yeah, yeah. No, that seems probable.
It could just be nonsense because I've been bored and sick. But I would like to see an Injustice 3 game. What about you?
Yeah, dude. Okay. So I have a love-hate relationship with fighting games because I'm bad at them. But I love anything that have like superhero properties. Marvel vs. Capcom. Yeah. I didn't buy the most recent one, but Marvel vs. Capcom, Injustice. I get these all the time. I'm terrible
me
at
too.
Them. But I
like the story of them. And so when it has a weak story, to me, I'm just like, damn, I bought this game. I know it's a fighting game, and there's only 10 levels, but I like the story of these games. The same thing with you, playing as superheroes. Like, I am, you know, a few seconds away from buying that ultimate edition of Mortal Kombat 11 for the PlayStation 5 just so I can play as Spawn versus RoboCop.
Yeah, I've got all of them but RoboCop.
You know, and that's just silly. I bought Injustice 2 when it first came out, and then I sold it back to GameStop right immediately because I wasn't really a fan of the character designs, but they went back and they updated some of the designs. But then Ninja Turtles came out, and I bought it again just because the Ninja Turtles were on there.
So. And then Hellboy.
And then Hellboy was Hellboy on there, so I mean, I had to get that game just for that alone. Playing as a Ninja Turtles in a fighting game hasn't been done like that for me since Super Nintendo Tournament Fighters, which I love.
Tournament Fighters,
I
man.
I love that game.
That fucking shark.
Yeah. The Chrome Dome was beat. In that game. He was great.
Yeah,
Wingnut. That figure is about to come out for NECA, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure it'll be impossible to find.
Yeah, it looks freaking sweet. And that is all the news, unless you got something that I didn't see. Something interesting. This isn't very interesting either. I'm sorry, guys.
No, I can't think of anything that I've seen that's just popped out at me. So, no, I think you've got it covered today.
So before we take a break, I want to let you guys know, earlier I talked about my thoughts on Future State and things like that. And in the previous episode, we mentioned our Patreon. So I'm going to be doing like a little thing on Fridays where I go, because I read all the issues of Future State last week, and I was like, I don't want to put a review out. Our website's not done yet. So I'm just going to record myself talking and giving my thoughts for a few minutes on Future State Fridays on our Patreon, which is going to be exclusive for people of the $5 here and above. So you don't in any way have to join, but that's just one of the things that we're starting to put on there. And we're going to slowly start putting more on there. So,
yeah. So if you want to hear a sweet dose of Lex's sultry, sweet voice
angrily talking about comic books, you should do that. And if not, that's okay too.
Yeah.
Because what you're going to do is you're going to listen to these ads. And we'll be right back.
Are you on the hunt for great import collectibles for a great price? Well, check out SavioCalCustomsAndCollectibles.com. They have great figures and model kits based on your favorite anime, comic, or movie heroes. They sent us a 30-minute mission model kit, and it was awesome. These are from Bandai, and they're modular mechs and can be mixed and matched with awesome accessories, and they make great army builders. From Nendroid to Mezco, these are your guys. They even do customs. Check out Xavier Cal, CustomsAndCollectibles.com. That's XAVIER. C-A-L, CustomsAndCollectibles.com. Listen, if you're like me, you're tired of going out on the hunt for great pops or NECA figures and finding empty or destroyed displays. That's where Galactic Toys and Collectibles comes in. They have a great selection of Funko, NECA, Gunpla, and trading cards. All your nerd essentials. Their stock is always rotating, so you never know when they'll have that thing that's sold out everywhere else. Use our affiliate link through my Instagram, Simon Toast, in the description or on our website and surf their stock. You never know what you'll find, and it will really help out the show.
All right, welcome back to the episode. Thank you for taking the time to listen to those ads, and if you didn't, that's okay too. And so this is the section of the podcast where we review a comic book trade, a trade review, if you will.
So
and this week we read this week we read Spider-Man Life Story. In 1962, Amazing Fantasy number 15, 15-year-old Peter Parker was bitten by a radioactive spider and became the Amazing Spider-Man. 57 years have passed in the real world since that event, so what would have happened if the same amount of time passed for Peter as well? To celebrate Marvel's 80th anniversary, Chip Zdarsky and Spider-Man legend Mark Bagley, which is my favorite Spider-Man artist, unite to spin a unique Spidey tale telling the entire history of Spider-Man from beginning to end. They pull out, you know, a lot of his key events and kind of splice them in through different decades. And so, yeah. And this book is six issues, self-contained story, beginning to end. It's, I do like that about it. I have to know your initial thoughts before we dive into it.
My hot take is I didn't like it. That's my hot take. Review over. See you guys later. Now, initially I wanted to like it because I love Spider-Man. He's my favorite superhero, but I was kind of disappointed. And we can go into that more, but obviously, but I was just kind of disappointed in the story, to tell the truth.
Okay. So I read this when it first came out and I really enjoy the way that Chip Zdarsky writes usually. One book that I want us to read very soon is Chip Zdarsky's Daredevil run. Probably just the first volume, maybe first or second, because it's really good. It's probably my favorite Daredevil story that I've ever written, or that I ever wrote myself. That's my favorite Daredevil story that I've ever read. And so I think I was just kind of romanticized with that, like fanboying over Chip Zdarsky, and it just, you know, kind of got lost in it. And it was different when reading it issue to issue. So coming back and rereading it in trade form, there was a lot of moments where I was just like, I don't know if I like that. It had a lot of great moments, a lot of very small personal moments that I liked. But as a whole story, it was a lot of me wondering why. Mark Bagley's art has also changed.
Yes.
From the 90s Spider-Man that I love so much. And I noticed that when he was on this Ultimate Spider-Man run, it looks a lot like that. So it's a lot of me being let down on the reread.
Yeah.
But I won't say that I did. There was a lot of things that I did like about it though, still. But we were talking about clones earlier, and before we get into like sort of an issue breakdown, we were talking about clones earlier, and it's funny because essentially this is a clone saga book. Mm-hmm. It's extremely convoluted to me for like unnecessarily.
Right.
They did that in the original clone saga. You know, Peter thought that he was the clone, and so he let Ben Reilly take over as Spider-Man. Then Ben Reilly sacrifices himself to save Peter. Ben Reilly disintegrates as a clone would, because that's what all clones do. We all know that.
You're right.
We've all been clones before.
All my clones disintegrate.
Why would you add that into this Spider-Man life story and make it such a overarching thing?
That was the main problem I had with this story, is that I loved that they were trying to go back and kind of do these interesting takes.
Yeah.
But then it would always end up the same. It would always end up the same. So what's the point? You're not telling a new story.
It's hard to break it down. We're going to talk about issues for a second. So the way it broke down is six issues. It went 60s, 70s, and if you do math, I'm not going to embarrass myself by counting, but it goes on.
Yeah, 60s, 70s, 77, 78, 80s,
yeah.
And then it goes into 90s and 2000s.
And so I liked that. I liked the way that they spliced in these big events throughout the years, even though like he would be really old at the end of this, which I guess he was, but still, he'd be really old. So issue one starts out, he's 4 years after he became Spider-Man. So he's in it for a little bit. He's fought some of his stupid bad guys that everybody loves. I love them. Not saying it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
It starts setting up and it seems like a typical Spider-Man book. Flash Thompson's about to go off to war. Right out the gate, I didn't like the Peter Parker, really.
Yeah, he was kind of a dickhead.
He was a dickhead. He was a little too cocky, and he was kind of a jerk. He was just like a straight-up dickhead to Flash, even though, you know, I get it. Flash was a bully, but what did you think about that first book?
No, I kind of – so I'm with you. I didn't like – especially like that hot take. He comes out – he comes into the bar, and he's just like an ass. I think that was in that first issue.
Yeah.
And then –
he goes to the party, it's a going away party,
yeah,
with his friends, and he comes in just being a jerk.
Yeah. Has Flash messed it up yet? I don't know. It was so weird, like, the way the story, so it goes on a little bit, Green Goblin's there, Norman is there, and he's like, earlier in the book, he's like, oh yeah, I've been watching you, talking to Peter.
And he meets him for the first time.
Yeah, I've been watching you. And then when he's at this party, Norman is there, and he's like, no, I'm serious, I've been watching you. And he's like,
yeah,
I'm the Green Goblin, look, there's a bomb, you know. And it's yeah. I don't know, it was like, we kind of know, like, people that are reading this know what the deal is.
Yeah, you have to have been a Spider-Man reader to actually follow this book pretty easily,
but it still kind of felt rushed, if that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah, so it's one thing that I noticed right off the bat is that war was going to be a constant thing in this book. And even when there wasn't a war going on, it was still a constant thing in this book. Like, he talked about it all the time, which I thought it was weird that he was so obsessed with war.
Right.
I thought it was cool that they put that in there. I don't remember if it's this first issue where Captain America's in it. That might be the second issue.
I think it's the second, but I'm not sure.
We'll just say it's the second issue. So yeah, he's just a jerk in this. Apparently he's been fighting Green Goblin for a long time, or for 4 years, within the 4 years, mm-hmm. but he's never met Norman Osborn. MJ's there. He's with Gwen, but like kind of. It just, it did feel rushed. Everything, because at the beginning of the issue, he's like, man, I can't express my feelings to Gwen, but then they go meet at the party and then like together.
Right, yeah.
And then he fights Norman, gets him away. It's just, I don't know, man. I don't know. I liked this book.
I didn't.
But it did. It felt rushed. And it shouldn't. You know what I mean? If you're going over decades, I guess, you know, they felt the need to try to put a lot into it, put a lot of stories into it, I guess.
Right. Honestly, to make this book better for me, what I wanted to see, what I was expecting when I started reading it, is for these major life moments to be not, to be opposite. So, like, yes, he's still with Gwen. She doesn't die, right?
They did that.
So they did do that. But they didn't, like, I would rather have seen that scene. And he saves her, and then see what happens.
Yeah, I was waiting on that. Yeah, I was waiting on that scene, because they didn't do that. They just, he fights Norman, he wins, and then
Norman acts like he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, Norman is cured from being the Green Goblin, and that's just how it ends, right?
Kind of, not really, because I mean, he later in the trade he comes back, but
well, I mean, that issue one ends like that.
Oh yeah.
And then it goes to issue two, which is the 70s. At the end of issue one, Gwen finds out that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And they also show Captain America joins Vietnam. He's kind of reluctant to join Vietnam because he doesn't know if he believes in it or not. So they're setting the stage, obviously, for sort of a, I got Civil War vibes. You know, he's conflicted,
right,
type of thing. Because they also show Iron Man in issue one in the war. Which is something we've never seen before. And, like, I guess, you know, he's a war profiteer or whatever, but we never actually see Iron Man's bodyguard in the war, which he was. So you see Captain America at the very end of issue one saving some soldiers from the other side. And, you know, some of the American soldiers are like, we heard that you went astray. You know, you're a disgrace. And then he knocks them out.
Yeah.
So Captain America is saving people on both sides. Actually, he's more of a hero than a U.S. soldier at this point, which I thought that was cool. I liked the look of Captain America. He was wearing like army pants, but then had his, you know, weird scale Captain America shirt on.
His Aquaman Captain America
shirt. Which is my favorite. So we're starting out the 70s. Cuts to Peter Parker at a funeral, or not at a funeral, at a gravesite, just talking.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking to, you find out that he's talking to Flash. Flash dies in the war. So they trim the fat on a lot of stuff,
yeah.
You know, because they don't do the Flash Thompson becoming Venom. They don't do all this extra stuff. They trim the fat, but I feel like they didn't trim enough fat.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like they trimmed some things, like, yeah, that's cool. Flash died in the war. That's, you just, you don't have to do any side stories with him or anything like that. they immediately go, and you, in the first page, you find out that he's married to Gwen, mm-hmm. which, like you said, I would have appreciated seeing. That's such an iconic moment in Spider-Man's life, the bridge scene where he's desperately trying to save Gwen, ends up breaking her neck. I would have, since it's Spider-Man life story, I would have liked to see those iconic moments play out. And even if it stayed the same, even if they didn't necessarily change them, I would like to see how it changed his life story if he aged the same way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So just finding out that they were married was a letdown to me. A few years have passed. So this is, again, this is the 70s. I don't know. You find out that Peter Parker is working with Reed Richards. Reed Richards looks like a old-ass man.
Yeah, he's like a beatnik.
Yeah. Which I think was, to me, was weird to not get any context on these other characters, but like just kind of like you're just supposed to know that Reed's old and like,
yeah,
what time.
Yeah, there's like a little bit of extraneous story, but not enough to like understand what the hell's going on.
Yeah, because Peter's relatively young still. He is young. He's young still. And Reed is like an old man. So it's like, for me, times matching up, like when did the Fantastic Four become the Fantastic Four? How long were they heroes? That just, to me, it had me thinking about things. It took me out of the story.
Well, and it also, like, you start thinking about Captain America, like, he ages differently, I guess. Mm-hmm. But, like, you start thinking about Tony Stark. Like, is he the same age as Reed Richards? Like, you would think so.
Yeah, and Ant-Man or Giant Man, he goes into the war, you know. Is he an old-ass man, too? Like, how much older? Because in the comic books that we read, you know, that just don't ever age, Reed doesn't seem that much older than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird to see him so... Oh, he's not an old man, but he has like more white hair.
Yeah, early 50s at least.
Yeah, he's kind of a jerk. You also see Dr. Octopus is coming in. He works with them. They have this company called the Future Foundation, which is later on in the Fantastic Four comics. That's a cool nod, but it again, a lot of this stuff just seems forced and rushed.
Mm-hmm.
Not rushed in the sense that they're just trying to scramble to get it done. It just seems like they're trying to get through a lot.
Right.
Through his life. And some of the stuff you're supposed to just kind of, you're just supposed to accept it, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh yeah, this is the, you see, he stretched his arm to throw that newspaper away, so you know who that is.
Yeah, so Norman goes to jail in the first issue because Peter Parker turns him in.
Yeah, even though he was quote-unquote cured.
Yeah, you still see him as a sane guy, but then issue two, Harry goes and visits Norman, and he's evil. He's trying to get... you know, be the puppeteer and have Harry do all these things for him. So I don't understand that.
Right.
Why?
Yeah. He's got those sweet ass.
He's got those waves, though.
Yeah, the waves. Learn some in prison.
The thing is, I don't understand why even paint him that as the cured person in the first issue.
Yeah, I don't understand that. That it almost seemed like a callback to the first Spider-Man movie. It's like, oh, yeah, don't tell Harry, you know, yeah. Whatever. But like you said, it this is what I was kind of talking about at the beginning of the podcast, or the beginning of our review, is every sequence that seems to have changed doesn't. Uh-uh. Right? So, you know, he's cured, and then now he's the same. He's still fucking Norman Osborn Green Goblin. He's still that guy.
And you get no explanation.
Right.
You just know that it happened. So you're supposed to accept that it happened in the story.
Yeah, I would rather see him as... regretful in prison, like you have to make Harry fix things.
What I was hoping was happening would be that Norman is cured, and then Harry goes down the path of being the Green Goblin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And dies, and then that makes Norman snap, and then he becomes the Green Goblin again.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, maybe, yeah.
As we were talking about before, I'm missing some of those moments. Those iconic Spider-Man moments.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to know Reed is a certain age. We are supposed to just assume a lot of things that I didn't like that assumption. Gwen is working with Miles Warren. So as soon as I saw Miles Warren, I was like, God, D, we're about to see some clones.
Yeah, that's a jackal, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He becomes a jackal. He's obsessed and in love with Gwen. Which it goes again to what you said. It's like they put these moments in here, which you're wondering, like, hey, man, give me a little bit of shock value. Change it up a little bit. They change up a little unnecessary things, but then they keep these big heavy moments.
Yeah, these continuity moments. And like, you know, in this moment, he's like doing good things. He's helping out amputees or people that don't have arms and legs. He's cloning body parts, right? I think it would be in the same way they did with Otto Octavius. It would have been cool if they just made them good guys. Like,
yeah,
make
up, talk about trimming the fat, man.
Yeah, make more bad guys or whatever.
Or just like, again, trim the fat. Spider-Man's got a ton of bad guys.
Yeah.
And yeah, because I forgot to mention in the Future Foundation thing, this group that they have set up, you also learn that Otto Octavius and the Aunt May thing happened. They got married like legitimately. And he's not a supervillain anymore.
Yeah.
Which to me, it takes away, spoiler alert for a little further down, it takes away that being a story moment when he just becomes evil again.
Right, yeah. He's just a bad guy.
Just because Aunt May dumped him because he was kind of evil. So just, it took me out of it. I did like his new Spider-Man costume, even though it had unnecessary shoulder pads and the shin guards.
You know what I thought? The one thing I thought about is that he was wearing that under his clothes. Yeah. So I'm like, he's wearing these like metal shoulder pads under his clothes. Like, what's up? Yeah, nobody. What's weird? Nothing. These aren't.
Why are your legs pads. So big? Yeah, it's weird. I like random Spidey suits. I like that about his character. I like that. He always goes back to the original classic, but he does switch it up from time to time.
Yeah.
I do like the explanation in this book as well that he is getting older. And so his body, it hurts more. It reacts less. And so it kind of shows like how he's building pieces onto his armor to kind of like compensate.
Right.
So I did like that. Next thing, you know, he's leaving, seeing his wife, Gwen, and creepy Warren, Miles Warren, and he's going to a party to see his friend Harry and his girlfriend Mary Jane. Mary Jane is totally out of character in this. It really, I didn't like it.
Yeah,
like yeah, I get that she's like a party girl, but
yeah, she.
Go ahead.
Oh, it's just she was vapid and like a druggy and didn't care.
Yeah, yeah, didn't like her boyfriend. She just made her seem like she was with Harry for his money. And it just totally took her character. She has like all these great characters. And even in this book later on, she has these great characters. And not saying people can't grow, but like she was with Harry. He's completely just out of his mind and she's just having a good time. And she's like, I don't really give a shit. And Spider-Man goes in there. Peter Parker goes in there kind of being a dick again. Only kind of, but she gets really offended and goes off on him. Reveals that she knew he was Spider-Man the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, could they have a relationship from when they were younger that you don't really know about?
Yeah. Again, it seems to almost pull from the movies. Like, the movies, because they're neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe Chip Zdarsky just watched the movies. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's like, hey, man, I don't have enough time to read comic books from Amazing Fantasy 15 to now. So I'm just going to watch all the movies that they made because his Spider-Man, his Peter Parker, is kind of like Andrew Garfield's Peter Parker.
Yeah.
It's kind of a dick.
Like you said, it is kind of weird that this, like he's, Harry Osborn's like whacked out on Quaaludes.
Yeah. He's like unconscious.
Yeah. At this and party. She's like, oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah. He's fine. You're like, oh, Peter, I can't wait. I'm so excited you're here. Let's party. And he's like, hey, what?
Yeah.
What's going on over there? She's like, how dare you? How dare you look down on us, you piece of shit? And it's just like, okay, I'm out of here.
Which makes you think, I mean, maybe she was doing cocaine, you know?
Maybe she was. Yeah, she's very, it didn't make sense the way she was acting. And again, just to be like straight up like, to guilt somebody like in this situation, like our friend's dead because you're Spider-Man and you didn't go to the war, like.
You didn't go to Vietnam and watch over his shoulder.
That's just weird to me. Just forced story moments, to me, it just didn't fit right. Because I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. So I hold his relationships with Gwen Stacy and Mary Jane. They're big. They're pretty much very, very, very big parts of Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And just to see them, just to see the way the relationships are handled in this book, I didn't like. I wasn't a fan of it. So he goes back to work with Reed. He's talking shit to Reed. Reed's a frail old man. You find out that Sue left him for Namor, and Johnny Storm moved on, and the Thing moved on, and he's just a brittle old man obsessed with work, which is cool. I like that. I appreciate that. You get a lot of context with that character in just a few panels. I don't feel like they did that enough in this story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, just a few interactions with the characters to give the background.
Yeah.
Because you're just introduced to Captain America, and you just see Iron Man off panel, and you just it's a lot to take in. I think that's a big problem with it. Then you see Harry wake up like, hey, what happened last night? And she's kind of mad at Pete still. And he's like, oh, did I act ass? My bad. And she's like, no. Whatever.
It wasn't you. It was Parker.
Yeah. She's like, well. He's like, okay. So then he gets offended and calls his dad. And he's like, yeah, dad, I'm in.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
It was enough to piss him off.
Here's the worst character. So then Spider-Man goes to, I guess he's going to see his wife. Then in comes the Black Goblin. Original. I would just appreciate it if he was just the Green Goblin again.
Yeah, racist. No,
the Black Goblin just weird to me.
I honestly liked it. That was probably the only thing I really enjoyed about the.
He looks cool.
This part of the book, yeah.
And this to me, I was okay with this book until now. These are just things that I noticed after thinking about it. I was okay with the book until now. There was obviously things that I didn't like, which I've mentioned, but this is where it takes a turn, man, mm-hmm. for me. It takes it just like a crazy turn. And Spider-Man fights the Black Goblin. They're going back and forth, back and forth. And then something explodes in this like mystery wall. You find out that Miles Warren is actually still a creep in this universe and has clones of Gwen, Spider-Man, and Norman.
Right.
And then you have this weird moment where like Harry takes off his mask and he's normal again. And he's like, oh, what did I do? You know what I mean? Because him and Peter Parker have a conversation. He's like, what does he say to him? They're fighting or whatever. And he says, you're letting your dad get in your head. And he's like, oh, sorry, Pete. You're right. I have to destroy these clones. And it's just like, why? How would that happen that fast? Just like a switch. As a matter of fact, he says, they're fighting. And he says, don't let your dad ruin us. And then, you know, Gwen's yelling at Miles Warren saying he's, you know, sick weirdo, which he is. And then he says, you know what, Pete, I'm sorry. My dad gets in my head, and he throws pumpkin bombs at the clones, like, yeah. Slam dunks them, you know, Luke Death Star.
Yeah. This hole in the building
and blows him up.
Good arm.
And so then Spider-Man makes sure Gwen and creepy ass Miles are safe. And Gwen says, hey, these clones are alive. I guess she knows a lot about these clones, even though she just saw them for the first time. She knows that they're alive. And so Spider-Man does whatever his wife says, and he goes in there to save these clones. Norman's dead. He has blades all through his body.
Yeah, he was impaled on the glass tube he was in.
Yeah, and
so was she.
Gwen's body is dead as well. He saves Peter. Peter's alive. He's like stumbling out. He gets to the top of the thing, the building, the thing, sorry.
The thing. He gets on the thing.
He gets to the thing, and he's talking about stuff. But then Miles Warren sees that he only saved the Parker clone, and he gets frantic, and he tries to run in. They stop him, and then you find out this is where the clone saga shit happens. It seems like the dude, what's his name? M. Night Shyamalan wrote this.
A twist!
Yeah. So he's like, you don't understand. Your wife that you've been married to this whole time is the clone. I put the real Gwen Stacy in a clone tube to preserve her so that we could leave when the time was right. And it's just like,
yeah, so I could look at her naked body.
What time? What point? At what point in your life would the time be right for you to run away with a person that you're holding against your will?
Yeah. Well, and see, the reaction to this. So, yeah, that's just a cluster. It moves forward a year. And the reaction to this is that the clone Peter.
And before that, what I thought was weird was that Miles Warren tells him that. He says, hey, your person you've been married to and been in love with, and
right.
you know, even though she is a clone, you have been in a relationship with this person. The real Gwen that has been there since she was 17 or 20 or whatever is in that vat. He freaks out and says, Gwen rushes in the building and embraces her.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is that so moving forward, the reaction to that is he lets this clone Peter, a quote unquote clone Peter, and this clone Gwen, who he loved.
His wife. They've been together.
Go off and just start a new life. It doesn't make any sense to me. And he's all pissed off like, it's like, what is his problem in this? Why is he such a purist dickhead that he's like, no, I can't love her anymore. She's a fucking quote.
And in this specific moment, in these two pages, we're in issue three now, in 1978, which, like you said, it was 77, 78, so it's just only a year past. If you know anything about math, people out there. I was confused only because I was overthinking it.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, because it doesn't make sense for her just to leave with clone Parker. So I was like, okay, so this guy with the beard is the Spider-Man, right? And then the guy that won't come down from the apartment is the clone. And he's freaking out because he doesn't understand.
I would rather have seen that.
So this guy's like, listen, this shit is crazy. Me and my wife, which I don't give a shit, she's a clone because I love her. We've been in a relationship. We're just leaving.
Uh-huh.
We're just going to move, and we don't give a shit about this. That crazy clone can be Spider-Man. Mary Jane, it's your problem.
You know what I started? You know what I started overthinking? It was like, how is he going to get a job, you know, without a social security card? How are they going to just move?
Well, MJ got all those millions of dollars, so she probably broke them off, and then he just kind of coasted on that. So, yeah, because they're, like, happy. And this is a year later. So this guy that has a clone who is essentially just, like, just born, he has all Peter Parker's memories. It was just a mess. These first two pages were just a mess for me because then MJ goes upstairs after hating Peter Parker. Now she consoles him because Harry's gone. And he's, like, again, a total asshole.
Yeah.
He's like, you don't even have to sleep with him anymore. He's gone. You made millions of dollars. And she's like, what are you even talking about, man? You are crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
So for me, it makes more sense for that to be the clone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't written that way. There, oh, this is actually the end of issue two. Sorry, we're not in issue three yet. Issue three starts out in the 80s and MJ's pregnant. Skip a lot of stuff. So they went from like mental breakdown Pete to them being married. And she's pregnant with twins. And she hasn't seen Spider-Man in 3 weeks. This is where they're plugging in the Secret Wars event,
mm-hmm.
where the heroes get plugged out to fight villains for the Beyonder. He wants to be entertained.
Entertained, yeah. And it was the only thing that you see that they're going to have any kind of romantic relationship is at the end of issue two. He like hugs her, and that's
after
it.
After having a mental breakdown, yeah,
yeah, and that's it. I did like this this splash panel in the 84 of him in the Secret Wars. That was cool.
Yeah. It's cool to see all those characters. You know, there's a beef between Iron Man and Captain America, but here everybody's just working together. So
mm-hmm.
we'll get to their beef in a second.
Beef.
I like his spider suit in this.
Yeah.
I like that he's constantly working on it. Again, they play it. Reed is way older now.
Yeah, white beard, white hair.
Spider-Man's just a little bit older, which I know time, we're talking about he's older, but this Reed looks old. And this is where they're plugging in the symbiote stuff, because this interaction between Hulk and Thor and him was weird to me.
Yeah, dude, yes. Yes.
It was just so weird. It like just plugged it in. It served as like a straight up, you know, to keep the story going.
Your suit's in tatters. Hey, there's a thing in there that fixes it, gives you whatever you want.
What happens in the Secret Wars, but it's like he's having in the page before this, he's having a deep conversation with Reed about how Reed realizes that he lost everything because he cared too much about his work and how he's proud of Peter for being, you know, a genius and having Parker Industries, another thing that is created outside of context.
Yeah.
And then the next page is just like old school Thor and regular Hulk, they're just like, hey, man, what are you doing in here? Peter Parker's like, we don't all have Asgardian tailors like you. It's just like, it was a weird,
yeah.
The tone shift was too jarring to me.
I agree.
And Hulk's like, you just go in there and talk to that machine, it makes you whatever you want.
You go in there, you talk to that machine, it'll give you whatever you want.
And then, this whole page right here to me was the worst. Because then he goes in there and he's just like, I wish I could see MJ. I got something for you. Alien symbiote that's going to leech onto your brain and give you everything you need. That doesn't even make sense to me.
Yeah. You know what's weird is the next panel, this guy holding the end is nigh sign is totally Rorschach, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't notice that the first time.
Yep, they plugged him in there. The next page, speaking of the next page, it's like so the page before that battle, interactions between the other heroes and sort of like Peter Parker dealing with the stress of the war and being away from his family. Next page, hey, I've been home. I'm back home.
Yeah.
We won the war.
Yeah, there's just a panel. Two more weeks go by as gods fight, gods and I witness unimaginable things.
But we win. Yeah. It's just like, what? Why? No consequences. There's no gravity to the Secret War at all.
No.
He's just got a black suit now. He's got the symbiote. And then he pops up at MJ. MJ's surprised that a guy wearing a black Spider-Man suit.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, I get it. It's like, that would be jarring a little bit, but at the same time, your husband is Spider-Man, and he has been known to change suits throughout the years. So, yeah. Like, it would only be like a second. He's like, hey, chill out. It's me. I'm Spider-Man. That was weird. He has twins. He breaks down because he's been away for, you know, too long. Which I guess that's a fine page.
Looking like straight shit, man.
This is what kind of takes me out of it, and I need you to give me some context. You're really good at fixing it for me. So there was a secret war, and then there was also a war with Russia going on at the same time.
Right. So it's the 80s. They're talking about the Cold War.
Yeah.
Which was really just an arms race. Right, between the U.S. and Russia, and then you had some, they try to invade Afghanistan, shit like that. Actually, that might be into the 90s. But anyway, Russia, I don't know. It really didn't make a lot of sense, but I guess Russia was like, so they thought that the superheroes were America's nuclear weapons. So they're like fighting against that. Some Russian scientists came up with intangible missiles. So stupid. Yeah. So like Vision, and I guess this is Sue. I don't
Invisible
know who this,
woman. Yeah.
I don't know who that is. Anyway, they try to nuke Manhattan, and Vision steers it off course to Pennsylvania. And then like, he's just in shock at ground zero,
which I thought that was cool.
It would have been cool. It didn't make any damn sense.
That's what I'm saying. It just didn't make sense. Like, that is cool. That page with him witnessing, and the image, if you think about it, of him going intangible and watching just people get evaporated around him, that's cool.
Yes.
But like, the context of there, in one page, you find out that there was a superhero arms race. Who could have the most superheroes? All of America's superheroes are in some alternate dimension fighting a secret war. Russia has all their superheroes, but instead of just invading with their superheroes, they launch these intangible nukes that I don't know why they have to be intangible. That I don't understand. Like, that extra level of, you know what I mean? Like, adding intangible nukes. I don't understand why.
Yeah, I'm reading this again. It said they had super beings as well. Russia had super beings as well.
Uh-huh.
None of them disappeared. One was Ivan Kragov, the Red Ghost, a scientist who developed the technology to render items intangible.
Yeah, that guy talks to monkeys. He has a lot of monkeys around. He's weird.
But yeah, no, I mean, that is it. That's all that explains that. Why they have these nukes? Why are they firing them off?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It just doesn't make any sense. It's just weird.
I like the idea that Cold War is very paranoid. Like, it was all about paranoia. I think there's a right way to put that in. I just don't think they did it the right way. I don't know how to say it.
It's rushed. And I don't think rushed is going to come off like they didn't think about it. I'm not saying they didn't think about it. They weren't intentional. This is probably how they wrote it.
They want an impactful moment.
Yeah.
And they just kind of threw it in there.
They squeezed it in where they could. Spider-Man, over the years, he has huge story arcs, man. Like in this next panel, he's helping Reed soak up the radiation in Pennsylvania or whatever. Yeah, but then you find out that Kraven, which is one of Spider-Man's biggest stories, my favorite Spider-Man story, The Last Hunt, at some point between these two pages, Kraven is going around murdering people.
Yeah.
As Spider-Man. Reed also lets him know that, you know, the symbiote is taking him over. Then Spider-Man's like, hey, I know. Which I thought that was cool.
I did like that.
Where he's like, hey, I know. He says, I'm a scientist too.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like too many times people forget that Spider-Man's smart. And so I appreciated that. Reed's even older in these pages. Reed's like a super old man.
Yeah.
I don't know. And Aunt May, you go to the next page and Aunt May, they find her randomly with the kids somewhere because she's 90 and she has dementia.
See, I kind of appreciated that story beat, honestly.
I like it, but it's older. Like, I like it, but then like their marriage is so fragile that she leaves him. I don't know if she leaves him yet, but they fight about the suit. He takes the suit off like it's nothing. There's no struggle.
Right.
There's no struggle like there always is between him and the symbiote. He just takes it off. No big deal. And then gets murdered by Kraven.
Yeah, immediately.
He gets murdered, but then immediately comes back to life.
Yeah. I need some air. Blam, I'm dead. Never mind, I'm alive because the symbiote came and found me.
And he becomes like a Venom type character, which is a soft intro to Venom.
Who's this guy burying?
Who's the black guy that's burying him?
Yeah, that's what I was really wondering. Yeah, I was like,
that bothered me.
I had to go back and look. I was like, is that Kraven? No.
It's not Kraven.
That's Rhodey. He's mad.
And then it's probably Hobby, the Prowler. He's always there for some reason. And then MJ stuck with kids and dementia ass Aunt May.
Mm-hmm.
MJ's getting the shaft. She thought that she was marrying for love after she's a millionaire. And then she ended up realizing that she was right all along. Peter Parker was a jerk.
Yeah.
So then the symbiote brings him back to life. He goes and hunts down Kraven. Kraven's like some kind of weirdo. He's like an old man weirdo that's obsessed with Spider-Man.
Did you notice that? Did you notice in this cemetery scene that it has the author and the artist? It says, here lies Spider-Man slayed by the hunter. And then it has Bagley, Darmada, Zdarsky, and Dell.
No, I didn't. Oh, wow. That's cool.
I just noticed that.
That's cool. No, I didn't notice that. I liked the way the Venom looked. I thought that was cool. I like the Kraven. I like The Last Hunt. I like that story a lot. So a lot of these things were hitting nostalgia for me, so I liked it.
I do have a complaint about that. I do like how the Venom looked, and I understand why it developed the way it did. What I don't like is, like, anytime you can see Spider-Man's mouth through the mask always sets me wrong. I don't like it. Yeah. But I understand that's like why he got the mouth for Venom.
Yeah.
But that first panel is like, ugh. It's just something weird about that.
Yeah.
Gimpy. But yeah.
Let's talk about this gun, because he says when he's talking to Reed about knowing that the symbiote can take over, he says that I've created something for MJ to fix it, to take it out if it gets that far.
Yeah.
And so MJ follows the symbiote somehow. Like she tracks it. I don't know how she does it.
She does that alien thing. Boop, boop, boop,
boop. And then she has this weird cone. Oh, she does have an alien tracker that looks like a mirror. I didn't notice that. Dumb. It's just dumb. And she has this stupid gun that she shoots him. Plasma gun. Looks like it kind of hurts him. Completely evaporates the symbiote. You don't ever really see the symbiote get just obliterated like that.
Yeah.
You always see it like slide away, which it does slide away because you find out that it goes, it finds Kraven, stops because Kraven's about to kill himself, and the symbiote attaches to him. But MJ's like, you know what? This shit is too crazy for me. I'm out. They get a divorce, which I assume they get a divorce. She leaves Pete with his crazy Aunt May. And that was the 80s, man.
Yeah.
Fucking sucks. And the 90s, straight up 1995. This panel was weird to me, again, because you don't have a lot of context in this book.
Right, I was very confused.
You see this guy, he looks like an old man. He's a photographer. The last time you see Doc Ock, he's a good guy working for the Future Foundation. Now he's back super old, and he's a bad guy.
Yeah, the only thing that links this to Peter Parker for me is that he looks like the classic... Yeah. Young Peter Parker, like kind of buzzed hair and he's the dressed glasses.
Like him, yeah. At least. He looks like an old version of that guy.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's Ben Reilly, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I assume that was Ben Reilly because he just calls him the Red Mask. And then you find out later on that Ben Reilly.
Well, he says, hello, Ben Reilly. I saw you at May's funeral.
He does say that. Yeah, because before that, he says, the Red Mask, face to face. And then he says, Ben Reilly. Yeah, I missed that. And then after that, you know, they don't even show their fight. They just say that he knows who he is. And then it goes to New York City, and you see Tony Stark, which is, again, a complaint of mine. How old is Tony Stark?
Yeah, he does seem like a vain kind of person that would dye his hair and beard, but he doesn't look as old as Reed Richards. He should be older.
And now Peter Parker has the Reed Richard white side hair, so he's older now.
Yeah.
Hey, look, and they did a pretty good job at the lines in Tony's face. But still, and he's a total asshole in this book.
Yeah. And what's weird is like, so Tony Stark's original, his origin is Vietnam, right? Yeah. Like his original, the early origin was Vietnam. So it doesn't even make sense that his bodyguard is there because that's where he started.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's true. That part of the story doesn't make a lot of sense.
That's true.
But yeah.
Yeah, because in what other war would that situation for him to become Iron Man happen?
Yeah, so he would have had to be Iron Man, get rescued, come back to the U.S., develop a new suit, and go back to Vietnam, which kind of makes sense. But again, you have no context.
Yeah. And that the armor that he has in the Vietnam pictures isn't the gold armor that I like. Yeah. It's like the red and gold armor. Yeah, so it's years later.
The super like Gigantor like.
Yeah. So it's years later. So this is condensed, which is crazy. Yeah. And again, I know that Tony Stark is a dickhead in the comics before RDJ took over. But this guy is like an asshole.
Yeah, he's like
trying. Never gives up the weapons game.
Yeah, he's trying to take a hostile takeover of Parker Industries, you know.
Another weird thing, the next page, he's in a relationship with Jessica Jones.
Yeah, that is weird. Like, why?
Why?
And like Jessica Jones from the TV show, like Leather Jacket, stuff like that.
She's working for Alias. It's weird, man. And then, you know, he says, I'm still Spider-Man. I like the Spider-Man suit.
I was about to say that, yeah.
I like that he references, again, that he's old, that he's getting older. It's more of a routine for him rather than like young, excited, jokey Peter Parker. It's more of him like, it, you know, the great responsibility is more of a burden to him at this time.
Yeah, he says, but with great power comes great guilt.
Yeah, so I like that. But then pops up old-ass Doc Ock again.
Spider-Man, show yourself.
I like that he jokes a little bit. Anytime Spider-Man jokes, I like that. He says, he lifts up that bus and he says, doctor says I should only lift cars.
Yeah.
And these days. I like that. For me, I was like, okay, I'm back in a little bit. I like jokey Spider-Man. Because that's like 50% Spider-Man is that he jokes a lot.
Right.
And then, you know, he reveals that he knew that he was Peter Parker, or he knows that he's Peter Parker.
Yeah, who even cares at this point? He's old as fuck. Yeah,
he's an old man. I think most people would probably know by now.
Yeah, time is short, son. I no longer have the luxury of toying with you.
The clock so you mean to ticking. Tell me all these years you've just been playing, like you're playing around with him? Yeah. Like you could have knocked him out and killed him at any time, but now you're just like, I can't play around right now.
Yeah, I ain't got time.
It just kind of takes it out of it. It takes me out of it. Like these villains are just like, I don't know, man. if they've just been playing with him the whole time, what's the point?
It's all very shallow.
Yeah.
Which again, I get that they're trying to put his whole life up to the 2000s from the 60s in this, but it's very shallow.
Takes him back to Oscorp. Harry's there. We haven't seen Harry in years. You see Ben Reilly, Peter Parker see each other for the first time in years as well. I don't really understand what Doc Ock's intentions are. Is he trying to do the Superior Spider-Man thing right now, where he's trying to take over one of their bodies? Is he trying to clone a younger body for himself?
What I'm understanding, and anyone that's listening, you know, comment, correct us if we're wrong. What I understand is that he's trying to reverse engineer
the cloning process.
Yeah. Excuse me. The cloning process. Exactly. So I don't think he's trying to put himself in either one of their bodies. I think he just, it's like Ben Reilly only had half the key. You know what I mean? I don't know.
That is probably right. That sounds right to me.
But it seems like it's just another reason to start this whole clone shit. Like,
yep. Because on the next page, he's, you know, beep, boop, beep, 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 got everything firing, and he's surprised, gasp. Peter Parker is the clone.
Peter Parker is a clone.
And I'm just like, that out of all the iconic moments of Spider-Man's life, why would this be for? Because to me, in this Spider-Man life story, this seems like the most impactful moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why that would be the one you would, you know, hang the story on.
Yeah. It's any immediate, I just stole my life. Yeah. Just
like, yeah. And then Ben Reilly is just angry. You stole my life. And he's like, everyone's like, whoa, who? And he's like, all of you. I'm angry at everybody. I was calm and I was collected and I'm a normal person, but now I'm enraged.
Yeah. I've had this whole separate life. Again, it goes back to like Gwen, you know, he just decides that Gwen's a clone and fucking forget her ass.
And
Ben does the same thing. Now that he's Peter, quote unquote, he's like, this, my whole individual life that I've been living
is bullshit. I was happy yesterday.
Yeah. But I'm not happy now because I'm angry Peter. Now. Yeah.
So I have a question for you. What happened to Gwen?
Yeah. They don't mention it. Do they
don't ever talk about her again. They don't even mention her dying or anything. Whatever. Dumb. They have a weird back and forth. They fight Dr. Octopus, even though he could put two Spider-Men down separately. He has trouble with them. Harry's just there to serve the plot, I guess.
Yeah.
You find out later on why he's there. But Doc Ock is like, I'm gonna do the kill shot. Ben Reilly's spider sense makes him take off, but old man Peter is just like, what?
Yeah, that's I thought the same thing. Like, he would have, if Ben Reilly could have gotten out of the way, so could have Peter Parker.
And there's no Spider-Man world where Harry Osborn has better reaction time than fucking Spider-Man. Harry Osborn saves Spider-Man.
Like, I just wanted to die anyway.
Kill me, God! I've been trying to die since the 60s. It's like, what? Then he dies.
Yeah, he but dies. Ben Reilly is not good enough to avoid that second hit.
And Ben Reilly is so enraged by Harry, who was not really his friend, but like kind of his friend. But I guess he finds out. So I guess Ben Reilly remembers that he was his friend years ago. Hadn't spoke to him in 30 years, but now he's enraged. You murderer! Jumps out a window. What? I don't understand why he would do that. It just seems like you said, like the revelation of who they are means more to them than the actual lives that they've lived.
Yeah. And it means nothing to the reader.
And it means nothing in real life. Like if it was a real situation, like if someone came to you and me today and say, I have something to tell you guys, Simon, for the past 30 years, you've actually been Lex. And Lex, for the past 30 years, you've actually been Simon. I'm sorry to shatter your world.
Like, man, that like, sucks, but I guess
my life would not be changed. My life would not be changed at all. You know what I mean? Like, they still had these extended, like, long lives that they lived.
Yeah, his life separated from Peter at this point is I mean, I don't know, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. So weird. It's so weird that that's a thing. And so then I thought it was a wasted moment. This next scene, Doc Ock gets away because he sucker punches Ben Reilly in midair.
Mm-hmm.
And then
doesn't stab him with the same tentacle that stabbed Terry.
Instead, he goes from a spear tip to a boxing glove.
Yeah.
Punches him.
just a box.
And then Pete, whatever. If he's a clone, if he's not a clone, Pete, we'll talk about that in a second. You know, it's the Gwen Stacy scene. This is the scene we wanted. This is the scene we asked for at the beginning. Ben Reilly's falling. Pete catches him by the foot. He's fine.
Yeah.
What? But Harry's dead.
Yeah, Harry's so dead.
Harry's dead. Peter Parker then gives Ben Reilly everything.
Yeah.
His company. He wrote a novel of his life and told him, hey, man, listen, you just read this book and you can interact with everybody I've ever interacted with.
Yeah, easy peasy.
And I know this is, what year is this?
I think 95? This is still the 80s. I think this is the 80s.
Okay, so maybe they definitely don't have smartphones. But I was just like, man, he hands in this docket of his entire life. It's just like, you have to thumb through this in any interaction that you have. It's like, hey, Pete, remember last week you told me you were going to buy a newspaper? And you're just like, yep.
Yeah, I totally said that.
I definitely said that. This is weird. That's not it, though. I'm sorry this is long-winded, guys. Seeing these pictures, it's feeling a hate for me. Not hate, but like just kind of dismay.
Yeah.
You find out that he was Scarlet Spider, Ben Reilly was.
Red Mask or whatever, yeah.
It's just kind of pointless. It's pointless. But then Peter Parker calls Jessica Jones again, and she's like, hey, I'm dumping you. And he's like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care about you. I'm wondering about this guy I've had you
track. What if the case I've been having sex with you, you're supposed to solve this case for me?
Yeah. What if that spider jizz was payment for this?
So weird. Yeah, the irradiated semen that gave you cancer. I want what I asked you for.
That is another complaint that I'll just throw in there for this whole story. That was in that same story that you're talking about. I can't remember what the name of that story is where
he
gives
Spider-Man the end.
Yeah. Where he can't win. Like,
no.
Peter Parker cannot win. And this is just bad luck after bad luck after bad luck.
That is part of Spider-Man, though.
Yeah. No, I get it sometimes, but his whole life can't be a shit fest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It can't be all sad.
Like, even, I mean, Spider-Man has his good moments. He does have Parker Industries, or he did, and he was like International Spider-Man. He was doing cool stuff.
Then he lost it.
Yeah, but I mean, so did Tony Stark did too.
That's true.
But I don't know. That was just a complaint. All I could think about was that older storyline. The end is like, God, man, he just can't win for losing. I would kill myself, you know? Like,
Yeah, cool. And I think Spider-Man would too, but the gravity of the great responsibility is the only thing keeps him alive.
Yeah.
Sad. Spider-Man's a sad story, man.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Thank you, Stanley. I get it.
Enough said.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, but sometimes it gets to be.
But I get you. Yeah. It would be his superpower is bottling grief. That's his real superpower.
The spider powers are just extraneous.
I would love to see like a panel where it's like Spider-Man cracking jokes, and then right after he beats up the Shocker, he's just like in the alley just crying about his life.
He called my mom ugly.
Oh my god. So this if you're listening to this and you haven't read it, it's okay, we're spoiling it, you're here. This issue sounds bad. We're talking about it really, really bad. But the worst part hasn't happened yet. The worst part is he goes to this chop shop, intimidates the people around.
Yeah, he picks up a motorcycle and scares off the biker dude.
He meets Norman, which I thought the interaction was great. Norman playing like coy, like, oh, hey, Pete, you know, I don't work, you know, at Norman or Oscorp anymore. So I can't help you. And Spider-Man's like, cut the shit. I know that you gave Doc Ock this information. So, okay, before this happens, on the roof, whenever he's passing off his life and his company, he says to Ben Reilly, "You and I both did our own research. We know what Doc Ock said was true." He says that. And in this panel, he says, "I did my own research. I know that I'm the real Peter Parker, and you were making one last play to put my life in shambles."
Mm-hmm.
And Norman admits to it.
Clever boy.
So all of that was for nothing. Yeah. It's like, what? Why do it so back to back? To me, I was just like, what is the point of this?
Yeah. That like just happened.
Like one page flip. He says, "We did our own research. We know Doc Ock's true." Next page, "I did my own research. I know I'm the real Peter Parker." Like, what? What? This is a book that I held in high regard. I recommended it to a lot of people, and I'm ashamed of myself.
What I don't understand is, like, why is Norman just sitting in this, like, what looks like an old-fashioned lab?
Yeah.
Just
underneath a biker garage.
Yeah.
He's a millionaire.
Sitting in this recliner, and there's all this Green Goblin shit around him. He's just reading this book, playing coy.
How is he playing coy? But there's like a Green Goblin mask and like gliders around him. It's like, why even pretend?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
How long ago was this written? It's what I want to know. It's like, was this written in the 90s and then they decided to bring it back?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Damn.
But anyway,
then they get into it. They get into their typical fight. He tries to kill him with the glider like he always does. Never works, Normie.
Godspeed, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man crushes it. That was a different take. He usually jumps over it. I like this. I like Norman's end, though. I like that he has a heart attack because he's 100 years old. And I like his last words. "I hate you." It's like the perfect, like, there's no redemption. Like, he feels bad about Harry, but he immediately blames Spider-Man without taking any credit for it. The ultimate bad guy.
Yeah.
Doesn't take any fault. And his last words are...
And he also doesn't know until then that Harry has died. Like, he's factoring Harry into this plan.
Which he's going to use Harry's weakness as his strength, as he says.
Yeah, but Harry's dead.
And then his last words were... to me, I was like, okay, this is a good... And when I said earlier in the podcast, there's a lot of great moments. This was one of those moments where I was like, okay, I like that. And it seems for a second like he's going to say something. And then it's, "Hey, you." It's like so great. And then Peter's last words are, "Oh, Norman." Then he just leaves. He sees his kids. His kids, I don't know how often he saw his kids after they left. But they obviously know him. MJ is just, to me, it's like, I'm not a feminist, you know, but I do respect the ladies. And so for this, it's like MJ's a hardworking mom taking care of her kids. Pete just shows up and she's just like supposed to take him back, even though he's been their prick.
Yeah.
Like, how come Pete doesn't have to just get an apartment in the neighborhood? How does he get, you know, he doesn't have to build up that relationship. She just lets him in. Like,
Petey, I've missed you.
That's to me, MJ doesn't need him. She's a millionaire. So like, no, you can't just come into my house. That's, again, I'm not a feminist, but that was bad to me.
Well, yeah, it's like we aren't quote unquote bra burning feminists, but we do think that, you know, like you should have to work a little harder for a woman to take.
We like our fair share of strong women. We're both married to strong women. So we don't think it's that easy to just like, you know, you just cut the shit. Like she doesn't need you.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, she does not need you. Yeah.
This fifth issue, I was already over this story reading it again. Yeah. So we're probably going to go through this pretty fast. They do the Spider-Man, the other story where Moreland comes out and Spider-Man is a totem. This is Ben Reilly, though. It makes it official that Ben Reilly is the clone. Moreland calls him the copy, kills him still.
Yeah, we're in the 2000s now.
We're in the 2000s. This is issue 5, second to last issue. Pete's significantly older. His kids are older now. Claire, I don't know why they wouldn't name her May. May Day. I don't know.
It so, seems like. Yeah. So this, I haven't read. So I've read the Spider-Verse, like that collection, but I didn't know much about Moreland beyond that.
So you have to read the other. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where you first introduced.
So I will say that, like, Ben Reilly seems pretty spry for being Spider-Man, like being old. Like, yeah, why is he even like out
old,
there?
Yeah, because he looks like an old man when they show him.
Yeah. And then, so this brought me back in because I thought, okay, this is going to lead into that Spider-Verse story. Like, it's going to be one of those extraneous panels that you see that is just a spot, you know, when they brought in like Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends and Spider-Man Unlimited and all these other. I was like, oh, cool. This is where they're bringing in that story into this other story as like a side note.
Why wouldn't they, man?
Yeah. No. Nope.
His kids are older. They Spider-Girl is a big character. Such a big character in the Marvel Universe that in the 90s they had something called MC2, Marvel Comics 2, which was a revamp. They had all the younger new characters.
That's the first issue of that.
You know, they have all these kids, J2, Mayday, Spider-Girl. She was so important that she was pretty much the only one that stayed relevant out of that entire universe of characters. It just seems like a misstep to make her look like Mayday or look like May Parker and call her Claire.
Yeah, Claire. Yeah.
A little complaints. And Benji, what a waste. The heir to the Spider-Man throne is a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, what a waste. This is where it gets murky for me. And again, I know I've said that many times in this whole review, but like, so now and I'm going to need your help with this. Now he has to go to New York to retake his company. So his character growth of being like just a family man is gone now because his company that he gave away is going to be Tony Stark's now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because everything basically. Tony Stark is going to, because Tony Stark is Secretary of Defense and Ben Reilly is revealed to be Spider-Man, Tony Stark is going to take all his assets, essentially.
But you get what I'm saying? Like, it takes away from Peter Parker's character growth because he left this shit. You know
100%.
What I mean?
Like, yeah.
He left all this shit. He didn't care about it anymore. He has a beautiful life with his family. He's a dad. He's an electrician. That's his life now, but it just tosses it all out the window for what?
Well, in the same way, he mentions Ezekiel and like the spider totem thing in like a split second.
Yeah. He's like, oh, damn, it happened.
Again, Ezekiel, you have to be a fan. Yeah. Like, I know about Ezekiel a little bit, but you have to be a fan of the comics and you have to be kind of deep in him to even understand what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah. So Pete goes to the Daily Bugle. Betty Brant is the editor now, and she really upgraded her job. And he reveals this story, this crazy story.
Mm-hmm.
That guy was a clone. I'm the real Peter Parker. I'm back. And so part of me is thinking, like, he's only doing this because he's scared he can't beat Moreland. So because in the – okay, so Tony Stark meets him at – Parker's going to Parker Industries. Tony Stark meets him on the stairs. He says, hey, man, let me tell you how this is going to go. You also get caught up to speed this entire time. The Civil War has been going on for years.
Right.
Between Captain America and Iron Man. And he says, listen, man, you can either work with us, get trained by a U.S. Avenger, or we arrest you and I take everything. And he's basically like, I don't give a shit about that, man. I'm Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then Iron Man style Avengers show up because why? Because the one thing that Captain Marvel was missing as one of the most powerful characters is an Iron Man. An Iron Fist Iron Man?
I hated it. Oh, my God, I hated it.
Iron Man.
Also, are these new versions of those heroes? Or are they just robots? Like, they should be kind of old, too.
Yeah, well, see, Carol Danvers has her mouth open, so she's there. She-Hulk's there.
Yeah.
She-Hulk makes sense.
Yeah, She-Hulk, yeah.
Black Widow, like, I feel like Iron Fist and Black Widow, it takes away from what they actually do.
Yeah,
and being in Iron Man suits.
Also, War Machine's legs are too small. And this,
he's a robot.
Yeah, I hate it. One thing that I did like is that Claire May Barker reveals earlier in that issue that, you know, even Spider-Man, even or Peter in this, you know, she's like, yes, I know that you've still been active. Like, you say you haven't, but you
lied to Mom.
Yeah, but he was like, I like the little September 11th plug that he was helping save people. I thought that was kind of cool. That was one of the shining moments for me.
Even though the way he was illustrated was bad.
Yeah, it was terrible.
He looked like the Incredible Hulk. Like, his arms were, like, freaking huge.
Yeah.
He was really holding up this beam. I was just like, why?
It was really weird. But, again, like, you get to these iron things. And
the Iron Avengers, pretty much.
They're terrible. Like, why pick those?
Why does Captain Marvel need rocket boots?
And she seems like so weak when you get into it. Like, she doesn't do shit.
Why does she need rocket boots? So it seems like, to me, the only way I can make sense of it was that Peter Parker thinks that he can't beat Moreland because he's old. Uh-huh. And active Ben Reilly got killed, and he's been actively Spider-Man. So he thinks that Moreland's going to chase him anywhere. So if Moreland shows up and he's in the middle of a fight between both sides of the Avengers, then they'll all team up against Moreland. He has a better chance to beat him. That was my logic.
Yeah. And I think that some of these characters aren't really who they are. It's almost like the Dark Avengers.
Can't be.
Yeah.
And Moreland doesn't do that. He shows up at their house and chases them through the forest. Yeah. Meanwhile, in New York City, Spider-Man's fighting the Iron Avengers, which they're just like bumbling idiots.
Yeah.
He's like slipping through She-Hulk's hands, webbing Captain Marvel in the face. She's missing him. War Machine's not doing anything. And then Iron Man lands a punch on him.
Yeah.
They're about to beat the shit out of him.
He like throws him or something. I don't quite understand that panel, but
they're about to beat the shit out. They got him in cuffs. And then the Cap's shield comes around. Bing, 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 bing. Knocks all these idiots down.
Bing, bing.
And then you get old ass Luke Cage, Cloak and Dagger, and old man Hawkeye and Cap.
Yeah. Cap's still looking good.
They all look like they should look.
Yeah.
They're old. They're wearing normal clothes. They're not in like all Captain America. They would be lame if they were all in like different Captain America suits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I actually probably would have laughed if I saw that. Moreland's again chasing his family. You find out that the kids have powers. Claire and Benji, they're just not that good. More of this stupid fight between the Avengers and the fake Avengers. It's just a lot of like nonsense fights, and then Peter slips away to go to Parker Industries to get a spider suit.
Mm-hmm.
But like, why?
Yeah.
Like, they know, everybody knows you're Spider-Man.
Unless there's like something special about the spider suit, it doesn't. Yeah,
which it looked cool.
Yeah.
I like the spider suit. But he goes to find a spider suit for some reason. I guess it's a Spider-Man book. He has to be Spider-Man. Moreland is killing. I don't understand how long it takes Moreland to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Because he's taking the life force out of Claire. She scratches him. She's fine. He's ripping through the forest. He's beating the shit out of Benji because Benji sucks. And then he starts killing Benji.
They discover that she can, when he's feeding, he's vulnerable.
Uh-huh. And so she hits him with a tree, kills him Logan style.
Yeah, exactly. Logan style. Just impales him.
No, it leads you to believe that Benji's dead.
Yeah.
Benji's dead. Let's remember that for a few minutes. You get a cool Miles Morales Spider-Man suit. And the fight is just, it's still dumb.
Yeah.
Iron Fist, Iron Man versus Luke Cage in this panel. Like, Iron Fist.
Right. Yeah. Just going to ninja kick him with an iron. Like, and then, but then, Peter Parker pulls like a, Bruce Wayne Batman. He's like, I knew that you wouldn't trust your people. Yeah. Prep time. It's like, I knew you wouldn't trust.
It was, but it wasn't even that. It was Ben Reilly.
Yeah.
Knew that you wouldn't trust this. And I know Ben Reilly because we're the same person.
We all know each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, so he deactivates everybody.
And that's it. They're just out. So maybe they are robots. Because they're just like laying on the ground after that. And then he does the rip the Iron Man mask off thing. But then it doesn't really phase. Iron Man has zero character growth in this.
Right. He just drops his armor and he's like, yeah, well, you're still a dick and I'm still the secretary.
Yeah, he's like, hey, you guys are going to need me. So make a decision. I don't give a shit either way. Like, this was fun. I'm out.
But he's also a hologram during all this.
Yeah. I know. He just phases out. And they all know that he's a hologram because it's not shocking to anyone in that panel.
Right.
They all just like continue to talk and he just kind of like phases out. And the wraps up, it wraps up the Moreland saga with one panel. Spider-Man says to Cap, I shouldn't have ran away. I should have been with you guys. I'm here now. By the way, this monster that's basically made to kill me is hunting me. And Cap's like, we'll fight him. End. Yeah. End scene.
I do like that in this next panel, as he's going into cloak, you kind of see that his arms are baggy, like a members only jacket in 2006. Doesn't make a lot of sense. I do like the suit, but it was kind of funny. Yeah, it's like real silly. That's one of those suits that would be like, like making noise as he runs.
All right, guys, it's been a long journey, and I'm going to cut this down for the audio version. So you got a lot of extra treats if you're watching the sweet Patreon treats version.
Yeah.
We're in 2019. At the time of this book release, we're up to speed. We're up to where we are. Spider-Man is old as shit. Miles is here, which is cool. I'm so glad that they included Miles because it wouldn't be a Spider-Man life story if they didn't, I feel like.
Yeah. And he's kind of got that Spider-Man that Miles suit where he's got the virtual helmet. Like he's got the leather jacket type thing.
You also see Mayday, or you also see Claire.
Claire.
You also see Claire, which she's a Spider-Woman, and you find out that in the Civil War, she, you know, joins the war and learns how to be a Spider-Man, Spider-Woman, and is a better spider person than Peter Parker was. Because obviously, Peter Parker was a dick his entire life, up until he's an old man.
He's got those
which they made dudes. Him look super old in this. I like you talking about baggy suits, like his Spider-Man suit is just like crazy, like old man sweatsuit.
It really is like a yeah, it's just like a work suit. What do they call it? Like a flight suit almost.
Yeah. Lots of in this issue, the last issue, more than any other issue, you just have to say, okay.
Yeah.
Doom took over after Civil War. Tony Stark died. Maybe. He took over the world, it seems like.
Yeah.
Or the United States. I don't really know. I just know that Doom is watching everybody. Peter Parker is leading the resistance pretty much as a 72-year-old man.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of resources, you know.
And he's extremely rich. So it seems like they're using a lot of stuff that they find that Tony Stark left over. So that kind of explains that. They've just discovered a satellite or something like that where they could probably get more things from Tony Stark. But they need to do it before Dr. Doom notices them. This whole issue to me is just like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It is the epitome of improv, which is just yes and. Like,
it's wrap it up. They went through the entire five issues and was like, oh, we didn't finish that. Let's put it in issue six.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just put it in issue six. Or they go through all of Spider-Man's history and they're like, ooh, we didn't put that in there. Let's put that in issue six. They do a great explanation of Miles. Took two panels.
Yeah.
I feel like they have a strength that they didn't, you know, lean on enough. They did a very good job at one page, couple panels explaining Miles. But like they did all these extra things about like Miles Warren. He had multiple issues or, you know, stories about him in this whole book. They could have did that to a lot of characters.
Yeah.
They get to the space station and Peter is more jokey in his old age than he has been in his entire life. Miles is more serious and he's basically trying to tell Miles to lighten up. Like your life will be easier if you lighten up. It's really unclear what they're really looking for. You're just kind of reading to finish the story at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
His suit does look cool when you see the full suit.
Kind of.
As like an old man sweatsuit, it's like, that's cool. He's 72 years old and still like designed a spider themed suit.
It's still cool. Yeah. As I look at it, I'm like torn. I think it's neat. It's weird that it's like, you know, not symmetrical, but it's still kind of cool.
He's 72 years old, man.
The Spider-Man space helmets don't make a lot of sense to me, though.
They don't make any sense.
Yeah. Why do we got to?
Unless it's like digitized, like the Miles helmet.
Well, no, I think it probably is that, but it's like, why are we hiding our identities?
Yeah. We know who you are. You're the Resistance.
Yeah.
This, to me, his spider sense doesn't go off. There's an intruder on the spacecraft.
Yeah, they killed a Doom-mobile. We didn't mention the jet has a Dr. Doom like spray painted on
face.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. And out of the shadows, or this adds a creepy thing. Peter Parker, we told you we would hunt you to the end of Earth. So it's like, okay, it's Kraven. Kraven said that. Okay. How is Kraven alive?
Yeah.
He was an old ass man in the 90s.
So many years.
And he jumps out, he's Kraven Venom. Why would he have his jacket out still?
I honestly like that. I like the Kraven Venom.
I don't know why he would have the jacket out.
I don't know. But I mean, what kills me is go a little bit further. So he jumps out
and beats the shit out of Peter Parker.
Yeah, breaks his helmet. And then Miles comes out and he's like talking to him. He calls him by his first name.
Before that, he calls Peter Parker Parker.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man's like, what? Why are you calling me that?
Yeah.
He's like, just lighten up, man.
He calls him Sergei. Calls Venom Sergei. And then Spider-Man hits him with some sonics, I guess, and some bright lights and whatever.
He's Batman at this point.
Yeah. And he blows up Venom, and Sergei, aka Kraven, is Bones. Like,
I did like that.
I thought it was neat. Okay, I think that's neat. Venom, it doesn't make sense though, because Venom is a symbiote. He basically a parasite, essentially.
Yeah, amplifies the host.
Yeah, he amplifies the host, but he also feeds on the host.
Yeah.
So for it to be Bones, it doesn't make sense for him to stay with that body.
Yeah, and why would he still have the attributes of Kraven if it's just a skeleton in there?
Yeah. I as much as I liked the Kraven Venom, which I did, honestly.
I like the fur, but like when you see the jacket part, I was just like,
I mean, it's silly. But
dumb.
But then again, right after that, so we get done with this, he's cracked both of their helmets. You get done with this, and then it's like immediately into another like life-changing moment where Spider-Man has this weird thing sticking out of his head, which is supposed to be like a motion line, but it looks like he has some kind of like anglerfish thing coming out of his head when Miles shoots webs at him, because Miles is Otto Octavius.
Yeah, he says, all my enemies are dead. He said that numerous times. All my enemies are dead. Isn't that right? Dot, dot, dot. Flip page. Otto.
Yeah.
Parker. I thought it was cool, but again, like you said, it's like the Kraven thing was huge immediately, and then Bruce Wayne, Spider-Man, he put it all together within moments.
He knows it.
He knows it's Otto. And because, you know, they do the superior Spider-Man storyline, but it's a nice twist that it's Miles. I did like that.
Yeah, but how old is Otto at this point to be even 100. Involved anymore? He should be 100. Dead.
Yeah, for sure. And then they fight. This is it, again, this is just reading to like finish the story. They fight. They touch heads. Now Otto has the power to just jump bodies by touch, which I thought was like a weird convenience.
Yeah, they did some docking.
Yeah, he touches his head, and then he enters Spider-Man's mind, and then they have like a mind fight.
And something else, probably.
With the secret, the Sinister Six, versus Spider-Man. He says, do you want an army? And then he pulls out all the weird Spider-Man suits that he wore throughout Life Story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
They have a mind fight. Meanwhile, the space station is blowing up, or Dr. Doom is becoming aware that they're there. I don't remember what the turmoil of the space station blowing up is.
I think it was just damage from the fight, I guess.
Maybe. Okay. So.
Yeah. It was just the window, the depressurization.
So Spider-Man breaks out Aunt May, the ultimate weakness, and Otto dies. I thought he accepted it and just disappeared. Then Spider-Man wakes up. Then he's going to Spider-Man mode. He said he's going to save everybody. Webs all this shit up. I don't know. It's just a lot of...
He sends Miles on the only escape pod.
Mm-hmm.
But then Miles is still Otto.
Yeah, he wakes up and he's Otto. And it just seems like, why did you do the thing with him disappearing if he's still Otto?
Yeah. He's like, hey, be a good dude and trade bodies with him again.
Yeah, he's like, hey, I can help save everybody. And Spider-Man's like, no, man, just do the right thing. What?
Yeah.
Sends him away in this space coffin. And Spider-Man, this part was weird. Everything is weird about this issue.
Yeah.
Spider-Man's webbing things together to keep it together, I guess, to prevent the debris from falling to Earth.
No, he's just, so there's some kind of pulse that's going to happen with this ship.
That's supposed to hurt Dr. Doom?
Yeah, it's going to do something to Dr. Doom's communications or technology. So stupid. Yeah, but he's trying to hold it back together, so this pulse will go through, but he's like, I can't do it. It's not going to last. And then all of a sudden, the symbiote decides to help him.
Yeah.
At the last second, it stretches itself out and stops the ship from breaking apart.
Yeah, and then he has this inner space. He has another mind conversation with MJ. Basically, and I like that they admit that MJ says, hey, I'm not even really here. Like, you made this up. And then he dies. It blows up.
Yep.
Because the Venom symbiote couldn't keep it together long enough. Well, I don't know.
Well, it hits the pulse. It does the pulse like it's supposed to do. But then, yeah, it just blows up.
Then he dies. Miles is leaving Peter Parker's funeral. Goes to Otto wherever he is. I don't even know. Yeah,
just some dude in an iron lung.
And he's like, hey, man, I want to kill you. And at this point, it's like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Like, unplug him. I think it's more torture to just leave this old dude in an iron lung in the middle of a basement. But then he goes and meets MJ. MJ gives him Spider-Man's original suit and, kind of leaves the legacy of Spider-Man to him. Claire's out there. Benji's not doing anything because he's worthless.
He's got a cane, man. He got sucked dry.
That is Spider-Man's life story.
Yeah. He's got the spider suit, and she says, "Mine the stains."
They do have a very sweet send off, where Spider-Man says he always is haunted by the day that he let the guy go that killed Uncle Ben, and in this situation, he has the same dream except he stops the guy before he gets away.
Yeah, he mentions the dream before he goes to space, but MJ stops him. But yeah, no, I mean, I kind of appreciated that, but at this point, I did not care anymore.
Oh, no. Yeah,
I wanted this story to be over with.
Yeah. So you thought we were going to disagree on this?
No, I did until you said, like, after reading it, I had second thoughts about it.
Let's quickly talk about the art, because we dove deep. It's funny, because, like, when we don't like something, we get into it.
Yeah, chew it up.
What do we think about the art?
I am torn on the art. It's some things I liked, but it's a little too old school for me. Much as I like that, I like the covers. If it were all drawn in the same style that the covers were drawn in, I would love it. But
yeah, if it had more of a retro vibe. See, so Mark Bagley, to me, his 90s Spider-Man was gangly, but it was all so clean.
Yeah.
Like the way he drew his, and I feel like as he got older, it became rougher. He tried to put more emphasis on people's faces and just weird things. And it's not the same.
No, it doesn't do it for me. The earlier issues, the 60s issues, I didn't mind so much, but really not a fan of the art, to tell you the truth. And I think some of it has to do with the way it's digitally painted.
Yeah.
Usually the colors kind of will pull it off, but I don't know. It to be honest, it looks like a DC book to me. There's a certain DC style that I've seen every time I read a DC book, and this reminds me a lot of that.
Well, even on this last page, I don't know if you have it pulled up at all anymore.
Yeah.
But if you look at the last panel where he shoots the web, like the it just seems like they did the drag and drop like on the lines around his the white.
Yeah.
It looks like they just did drag and drop peach. Like they just dragged and filled the space. Like there's no real, I just don't know, man. I just feel like it wasn't,
it's hard.
I didn't like it.
It is hard to say. Like I personally did not like it. It wasn't terrible. I've seen worse.
Way worse. It could have been way worse.
But it there's something off about it. Some proportions are bad. I didn't like when they brought in the Iron People, you know, his soldiers or whatever. For Iron Man, that interaction, I thought all that art was terrible. Up until Cap comes in, that team looked all right, but those Iron characters looked terrible.
The face consistency didn't work with me. A lot of the old white characters looked exactly the same. It was hard for me. And like Peter Parker in one panel, like the panel where the symbiote comes to save the ship, his face there, and then his face right before it explodes, it just looks different to me. And it's slight difference.
Yeah, he goes from looking very old to kind of young.
Old and chunky to like younger Magneto white hair. You know what I mean? Like younger, slimmer, fitter Magneto. And it just, the it, little inconsistencies like that, it's nitpicking. But no, I remember really, really enjoying this book when I first read it and in issue form and then reading it in trade. It was not the same experience.
I think it's kind of like, and maybe it's the same thing when you like binge watch a show, like you watch a show in episodes and you're like, oh, this is good. It's broken up. Like Mandalorian. Would that show be good if you binge watch the whole thing?
I don't think so. Some people might say so. Some people romanticize things. I don't think
so. But I can't say that this book really pulled me in. And I love alternate stories, as we had said in previous
episodes. The concept is amazing.
It's
the
there.
Concept is perfect for me.
Yeah.
They reading just the synopsis, even when I read it at the beginning of this review, I was like, damn, this sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't.
No, there's too many beats that it follows the same story beats. Like, do something different. If you're gonna, like, honestly, if he had brought this in, and you know, in the Spider-Verse where Ben is like, Uncle Ben is the Spider-Man or something, you know, like bring it into that, you know, maybe he's not actually Uncle Ben. He just says he is. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just saying like, make it different. Don't make the same damn story if you're going to say it's different.
I would be okay with just scrapping Ben Reilly in this alternate universe. A story about Peter Parker, scrap Ben Reilly.
Yeah, that didn't need to be there.
Scrap Ben Reilly. Spider-Man has enough stories outside of Ben Reilly. And I love Ben Reilly as much as I love Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Scrap him for this story, though.
It didn't make sense for him to be
there. It messed things up for me. It definitely took me completely out of the story. I was like, meh, the first couple issues. Like, okay, this could get, you know, if it progressed and got way better, then it would have been like, oh, okay, this is good. But that just, it took a left turn.
Yeah.
To like random. Everything was random after that.
I'm with you. They should have taken that out. It, when you really think about the meat of the story, that wasn't there. That was some onions. That was some onions in this sandwich. That was not necessary.
And the thing is, it's not even coveted as a, it's not a loved thing. It's notorious for people hating it.
Right.
So why would you put a notoriously hated thing? It would be the same thing as like putting the One More Day thing in there where Mary Jane makes a deal with Mephisto for them to never be married.
Yeah.
It would be exactly like putting that in there.
That's the problem with Spider-Man. Like you said, like he has some great arcs, but there's some that are just like bad. Terrible.
Bad. Just so bad. Like the, God damn, I can't remember the story arc, but it's like the story arc where Gwen Stacy didn't die. She moved to Europe with Norman and she was in love with Norman and they had babies together. Did you ever read that story arc? It was like Sins of Forgotten Past or something like that.
And it's just Norman. Yes, with Norman, not Harry. Yeah.
No, yeah. With Norman. Yeah. She has babies with Norman. It's just like, what?
Well, and then they say that he like raped her or
raped
something.
Raped her. Yeah. Weird. It's so weird. Spider-Man's got bad stories. People love him. And I he's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, I love Spider-Man. But this was no good for me.
It wasn't good for me either. I feel bad because like at the beginning of the year, I mapped it out. I was like, okay, we're going to read some of my favorite stories. Simon's going to love them. We're going to sing high praises. But I'm actually relieved that it's not all positive. It's not all high. You know, this is a book that we didn't like. I didn't like it.
Yeah. Not, and it's a major story. It's not some, you know, indie comic.
And this is coveted as a good book. People say A+, people give it high ratings. I myself suggested it to a lot of people that are trying to get in comic books. And now I'm ashamed.
Yeah.
So
it's okay.
Now it's time to.
Not all winners. You're going to have to turn off your filter. Nobody's going to be able to see it. Oh, there it goes. You have to put it in front of your face.
Put it on my brownness.
Okay. I'll go first this time.
Do it.
Okay. So going by the Wednesday pool list official comic book grading chart. I had to read that backwards. Or I could have just read yours. Anyway.
You could either join our Discord to get one of these, or you can join our Patreon and we'll send you one.
Yeah, we'll send you a nice, cool little something. I'm honestly, so normally, I want to say undercooked. I want to say undertoasted because I feel like this is a good story. Yeah. But I'm going to have to go with like an H7.
Oh man,
like it's too toasted. Like
you and I are too much alike to do these.
Yeah. They just, to me, the artwork wasn't there. The artwork is probably overdone, a little too overworked.
They got me with the names alone. Chip Zdarsky and Mark Bagley. It just seems like a winner.
Yeah. I like Bagley. I like him as well.
But
I have to say it's a little burnt. A little burnt for my taste.
I'm gonna go with. No, I would never do that to a book. I was looking at I-9, but I was I-9. Like, that's burnt it. Like, it's charcoal. Even like, I like it because it's even like shadowy over here. Like it's not just black. It's just like shadowy
corner.
Yeah. I'm gonna go, and this is the one even though I think about it, I try to think, like, try to be very way, like, overthink it. But I keep looking at the same one, so it's got to be it. I-6.
I-6. Right there. Yep.
Right there.
That's burnt.
It's burnt and it's squished.
Yeah. Yeah. That's some bread that got stuck underneath a box or something.
Yeah, so it's like, and I always imagine it me receiving toast in a situation. So if someone put that in, I would be expecting toast. So, and this person is well known for making the best toast.
They're well known.
And then they put that on a plate in front of me. It's not what I wanted. It's not what I asked for. It's not what I expected. And so I-6 is what I got.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And it is so weird to me that this is a book that I enjoyed reading it issue to issue, and that has very rarely happened.
Well, and I think, I mean, it has its merits, but...
Well, you know, it's like you said, like, month to month. So if I read an issue and there was things I could complain about, but I like Spider-Man so much that I'm interested to see where it goes.
Right.
6 months later, I forgot about the problems of issue one. You know, 3 months later, I forgot about the problems of issue 3, and I'm just want to be done with the story.
Well, and I mean, it's also Spider-Man, and it's cool to see him as an old man. It's cool to see him, like, grow, but...
Again, the concept is very intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I would like to actually see done with a few other characters, but not like, you know, not like this.
Yeah, not like this. I think that's why I like the Spider-Verse arc so much, is because you see all these different Spider-Men. You see, like, oh, okay, this is Bruce Banner as Spider-Man. You see that, you know. But, yeah, this just, it was too much of the same. I don't know. Yeah. Either they should have kept everything the same and made Spider-Man just get older with the times.
Yeah.
Or change those major events a little bit more. Like, make him not so down in the dumps, you know? If he's married to Gwen, make him where he's successful. Make it where things are going well and he's not so, like, in his head lonely and weird shit.
Yeah, and just, like, psychotic. Because he, like, freaked out about the clone thing.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. It would be weird if someone was like, Lex, I have to tell you, I'm going to preface this by telling you clones are 100% normal people. There's nothing weird about them. They're living beings, which Gwen said to him. But your wife is a clone of the actual Madison. She's somewhere else. I would say, oh, okay.
Yeah, she gonna get cancer or anything? Is there anything I didn't know about?
You could have not told me that, and my life would be fine. But I'm also not going to go meet this stranger, essentially, because that's who that would be. Like, all the memories I have is with this person. So, like, my life is, I'm going to stay here.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't.
Unless you tell me the clone version of my wife that also doesn't know me is, like, a billionaire that is weirdly obsessed with me.
Yeah, she's like, I've been watching you for years.
Yeah, that has, like, all the things that I'm terrified of my wife about taking out of her, then yeah. Bye, my wife.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you, though. Before we get off this, before we end it, would it be so bad, as you said, to just let him age, take a lot of the extremely depressing things out, take the clone stuff out, let him age. Let's say 90s, end of 90s, he's old as hell, Peter Parker, ready to be done. And then you introduce Miles. And then it's a Spider-Man story, not a Peter Parker story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, then you just transition slowly into Miles Spider-Man. And then instead of, like, it, you know, it serves as what we wanted, a change. Instead of there being two Spider-Men running around, like, because now in the 616 you have teenage 17-year-old Miles Spider-Man, and then you have, like, 33-year-old Peter Parker Spider-Man. Instead of that, you have Miles serving as in a Batman Beyond situation minus the future stuff. You have Miles running around as Spider-Man, leaning on Peter Parker as a coach type of thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it again, it's a Spider-Man story, not a Peter Parker life story. So it's just, if they put Miles in there anyways, you know?
Right. And they just kind of put him off as he's like nothing. It's no big deal that he's in
there. To me, it just seems like that. I would appreciate that more. Like, there's two kinds of people. People that appreciate Miles as a character and people that hate him and love Peter Parker. I like them both.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like they both have a place. I do think it's weird to have two Spider-Men. You know, you don't have any other characters like that. I also think it's okay to have two characters like
They're also different enough in their characterization, though. I like having
in their worlds. And their worlds are different. Like, you have, and the way they explain it is, like, Peter Parker is a white guy that understands white guy problems, that is in, like, a, not bubble, but like a white guy bubble. Miles Morales is Afro-Latino, and that's just a different neighborhood. Yeah. Not saying that Peter Parker ignores those neighborhoods, but he just culturally doesn't understand them the same way. And they're just two different, the world's big enough for them to serve two different.
Well, and they're not even, I mean, their power sets are different enough that the only thing that really makes them the same is that they can stick to walls. They have strength and
they use webs, I think he only used webs because, like, his inspiration is Spider-Man.
Yeah. So I don't know. I like that there are two, but
I do too.
I'm with you. Like, there, I don't know. I would rather have seen something like that, a coming of age for Miles, or some kind of mentorship for Miles rather than what we got.
Yeah, like serving as like a, not an explanation of Miles, but sort of like a, it's an alternate universe. It's a life story. Like, if we're going to age Peter Parker, let's age him. Mm-hmm. Let's not make it weird. Like, he's weirdly still Spider-Man in 2019. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I get it. He has powers, but they were very lenient with age.
Yes.
Tony Stark was 100 years old. And yeah, I guess he has technology.
He's probably at least 80. And maybe because he was a, you know, they never show him, so maybe his...
Maybe he was a hologram the whole time.
Yeah, but again, if his hologram, in order for it to work, you know, fool people, it had to look like what he looks like, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, no, not my favorite, for sure.
Yeah. Next week, we are reading an Image book called... I'm calling an audible. Yeah. So someone in our Discord suggested that we read Tom King's Vision to kind of ride the wave, sort of like we did with Wonder Woman. Hopefully this is a little more, even though that last episode is pretty good. It's going pretty good right now.
Yeah. I've got some compliments on it.
We're going to read Tom King's Vision next week. So another Marvel book. I'm sorry, but the following week we'll read a DC book. It was going to be an Image book, Folklords, which I want to read because I think you'll really like it. Kind of, I think maybe the first week of February we'll do Folklords to kind of get away from this all the superhero stuff that we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
But next week we're going to read Tom King's Vision, which isn't really a superhero book. I think you'll really like this one. And again, I read it when it first came out, so... So I'll be interested to see. I'll be interested to see what it is like in trade form. So that's, you got our review for that. It's a little long-winded if you're watching the Patreon version. We had some technical difficulties and then we kind of like dove deep on our hate.
Let the hate flow through you.
Hopefully I edited down enough. So yeah. You got any closing remarks, Sam?
No, man. Just quit picking crappy books. No, just like,
No. I'm sorry, man. Spider-Man's usually a safe bet.
Well, and what's weird, I would say the weirdest thing about this, that I would be complimentary usually. What was weird about it is that it was very Peter Parker heavy, which is normally pretty cool. But I wanted to see more Spider-Man in this, to be honest.
Yeah, it got around the fifth issue. I was like, this is a Spider-Man book, but like, this should be called Peter Parker Life Story.
Yeah. It
really should.
Could have been more interesting to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Next week's Vision. So if you've been following along with us, we have some people that listen and read what we read during the week. So if you're following along, next week we're reading Vision. I'd love to hear your thoughts on Spider-Man Life Story. Hit us up anywhere. You can hit us up Wednesday Pull. On any social media, you can bug Simon at Simon Toast, any social media. And we'll see you guys next time. We're circling the drain. We have been for a while. I should have said that earlier.
Gotta say it.
And we'll see you guys next time.